Guess what? It's Fun Friday. That's right. It's Fun Friday, y'all. Are you ready? Yeah. It's about that time to do some things tonight, y'all. So I hope y'all enjoy, ready to enjoy yourself, because it's about to get busy. That's right. It's Friday night. And welcome to Fun Friday. I'm your host, Derek Jackson, and you are on Let's Talk. And, of course, it's Fun Friday, so y'all know we have fun on Fun Friday. We talk about things in the news. We laugh and giggle. That's right. We try not to get too serious, but sometimes, you know, it happens. But we try not to make it a big thing. Well, you know, we're beginning to, like, we're going to change up a little bit, though, you know, the format a little bit. Cause I think, you know, sometimes we get a little carried away in some things. So, you know, we're going to have a little music now. You know, I may sing a couple of songs for you. Oh, Lord have mercy. That would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? So, you know what, though? It's all good. So, you know, if y'all can hear the music when I'm playing it, let you know. If you can't hear it, I really need to know you can't hear it, okay? Because I need to know these things. All right. Now, if you want to happen to join in on the conversation, that's no problem. Just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you can join my chat room. I can talk to you in the chat room, too. That's right. The only thing you got to do is sign into your local media site. And, you know, whether you use Facebook, MySpace, or whatever you're using, hey, just come on and join me, man. Sign in and join me in the chat room. We can talk in the chat room as well. Hey, we got all kind of ways to talk to you. So, you know, we're going to have us some fun because we ain't got nothing else to do. It's Friday, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Thank God it's Friday. That's right. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. Ooh. I'm telling you, man, I am glad. Look, I'm glad it's Friday because I'm telling you, I had shows all this week during the day, man, and I tell you, whew, them guys are wearing me out, man. I tell you, but we had some good stuff, man. We talked about relationships and sex and the women and the men, and, man, we talked about everything. But you know what? It was great. It was great. And, you know, we got to talk about some more next week, so. You know, if y'all want to join in, just catch me 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, you know, Monday through Thursday. Hey, and we can talk, man. I mean, your comments would be more than welcome. Okay, now that we have all that good, great stuff out the way, this is what I want to talk about tonight. I have no idea what I want to talk about. I know. You know, sometimes it can be lightweight. You know, it's been a long week. But you know what? Let me tell you what happened, man. You know, I be in the great pain. See, you know, that train be coming through, man. I don't know what it is. They must be behind schedule. It's like a train come through now every 5 minutes. Every time I turn around, I'm hearing it. I tell you what, though. We're going to fix that in a little bit. I'm going to go out there and put a stop sign up so the train won't come through. But anyway, remember what I was saying. You know, being the great parent that I am, I decided to go and have lunch with my child. Now, he's in the third grade, y'all. So, I must admit, I had never gone to have lunch. I never had lunch with him, so this was a new experience for me, okay? Well, let me tell you, I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon again. And I'm going to tell you why, man. Number one, man, you talking about security in the school? First, they had to buzz me through, all right? I had to get buzzed to go to the office. You know, I came through the double doors. Then there's two more double doors. But you can't get the double doors because they're secure. So you got to go to the wall, talking to the intercom, and they buzz you in. Then you go into the office. Well, you know, I'm thinking, well, I come to have lunch with my child, just blase, blase. So, and I'm thinking they're going to say, okay, what class he in? You know, okay, you meet him, meet him there. All right. Boy, was I in for a surprise. Next thing I know, they say, can we have some ID, please? You know, now I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, my name is Eric. His name is Eric. I mean, what? You know, what's really going on? So, you know, I handle my military ID. Now, this is where it gets crazy because the lady looks at the military ID and hands it back to me and says, do you have a license? Now, you know, a military ID is a federal piece of identification, right? So I'm like, okay, no problem. So I handle my license. Now, I'm in the state of Texas, so, of course, you know, when I hand them a Florida driver's license, they're really looking at me like, okay. So now she goes to the computer and starts typing things. Now, at this point, I'm like, what the hell is she typing in? You know, then she says, well, there's a lot of you out there. A lot of you out there? What the hell are you talking about, crazy lady? I'm standing in front of you. What do you mean there's a lot of you out there? Then she goes back. She's at the birth date. Then she looks at the driver's license number. And apparently she can't read too well. I mean, I don't know why they got her working in the front office. But anyway, you know, once it's all done, come to find out they was checking to see if I was a child molester, which, you know, ain't that bad. I can't really argue with that, right? Right. Anyway, so we get through all the room, and then I got to put this big old sticky on my chest that says, you know, my name and all this other stuff. So now, I'm moseys on down to the lunchroom to wait for my child. You know, little did they tell me that his class would be the last one to come to lunch that day. So now I'm standing in the lunchroom with all these little kids, right? And they're all walking by and looking at me, some waving, some trying to mean mug me. And I'm looking at them like, man, I will put y'all in the trash can. Quit looking at me like that. So anyway, so his class finally gets there. Right, so he walks in and he looks at me, and then he keeps going. So I'm like, okay, do I wait or what? So he gets inside where he gets his food. Then he says, "Daddy, are you coming?" So no problem. Okay, I walked in, you know. So now we standing there getting food. Now, remember, I told you I have never done this. Okay, so my thinking was, they have a special menu for the parents. You know, the kids eat one thing and the parents have a special menu, right? Once again, I was wrong. I'm gonna tell you, once again, I was just completely wrong, man. So now my choices was some lasagna or a hamburger. Now, let me tell you, man, I looked at the lasagna, and believe you me, that lasagna did not look tasteful at all. Okay, so my child got the lasagna. I got the hamburger, okay? Now, here's something else. You know, we as adults, we expect to drink certain things. Well, once again, I was wrong, and I didn't realize the only thing they had to drink was milk. You know, the little tiny cartons of milk. Now, me looking at that like, I'm not going to be able to do this milk thing. I'm not going to lie to you. Because me and milk at my age do no longer get along. So, now, so I get the cash register. So I'm asking the lady, that's all y'all have to drink is milk? She said, well, no, we have water. So now I'm like, water. So now next to her is a big old bucket full of water. So I'm like, okay, no problem. Now, you know, I still haven't figured out what do I have to pay for this meal I'm about to get. So she said, well, now let me tell you what I got. I got a hamburger, some string beans, and some, it looked like crushed fruit. I don't know what the hell it was, but it looked like crushed fruit. It was orange, okay? So it looked better than anything else they had over there, right? So those three items alone came to $3.25, y'all. Okay, so now my eyes are really bugging because I'm like, this ain't going to get it. So anyway, so, you know, I couldn't drink the milk, so I had to get some water. The water was 75 cents. I'm like, God. She said, well, with the water, it comes to $4. So now I'm standing there looking at her like, really? This little thing here is $4? Of course, I'm there with my child, so I'm not trying to start a scene. So, you know, I go, get pay the food, blah, blah, blah. And I walk, you know, find out where he went, and, you know, we walk over to the table. Now, I don't know if every school does this, but let me tell you about his school. Now, when you get to the table, if you're not the last one, everybody has to stand up. Now, see, now I'm beginning to feel kind of strange, you know, because I'm an adult. So, you know, I'm kind of towering over these little kids. So now I'm sitting there with a dilemma. Should I just go ahead and sit down and start eating, or should I remain standing with the class? Lord have mercy. Of course, trying to, make my son proud, I stood there, and he's looking at me like, you're not going to sit down yet? And I'm looking at him like, should I sit down yet? So we playing this little game, So anyway, once everybody gets there, then the teacher walks over and goes, okay, everyone sit now. Now I'm looking at him and I want to reach over there and grab him because, number one, he didn't acknowledge me until after the fact. But anyway, we sit down and start eating, right? Now, this is where the fun really begins. Because if none of you have been to school to watch third graders eat, oh my God. You really going to have to catch on to this one. Y'all need to go and check it out because it is something hilarious. I had one little girl, she wouldn't stop talking, y'all. It wouldn't stop talking like da 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 da. My child, he looking at me, I'm looking at him. She was a cute little girl, had green eyes and everything, sitting right across from my son, and she just wouldn't be quiet. So my son, he kind of, blushing a little bit and this is a strange couple. Man, it's strange. So now, next to the little girl, I have two little tiny white boys, right, with glasses, looking like what's that, Elmer Fudd or Mr. Peabody? That's it. Some of y'all don't know who Mr. Peabody is. Look it up. You'll see who it is. But anyway, so now they looking at me with the strangest look, like I can't believe there's a black man sitting across from us eating. And I'm looking at them like, what the hell are you looking at, right? But that's good. Okay, I'm dealing with that. I look immediately to my right, and there's this black kid sitting next to me. Now, he has taken a fork, stabbed his apple. Now he has the apple sitting in front of him, right? He has the apple in his hand, and him and the apple is having a stare off. I mean, he's just sitting there staring at the apple. Okay, I'm really beginning to feel kind of crazy about this right now. Maybe I shouldn't have came today. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, right? Okay, now, all of a sudden, he starts talking to the apple. Now, y'all, because I talk about my aliens and the ceiling fans or whatever, so I'm not one to really talk about somebody talking to an apple. But this kid, when he went talking to Apple, he started drooling. When I say drooling, y'all, the long scream of spit that just comes out your mouth? Yeah, well, he had two or three of them hanging down off his chin. Now, I'm looking at this kid because now my brain is really going because I'm like, okay, let's really figure this out. Is he special or is he just dumb as hell? I'm trying to figure this out because he's still messing around with this apple. Then he bites into it. Listen to what I'm saying. He bites into it, but he doesn't take a chunk out. He just puts his teeth print in it, then puts it back in front of him like he had it before and continues to stare at it and talk to it. So now I'm really beginning to ease closer to my child because, I don't know what he about to do with the apple and that fork, but I don't want to be nowhere near him at that time, right? Anyway, to make a long story short, he turned it around 3 or 4 times, did the same thing, talked to it, and then put it down. So I came to this conclusion that he was specially dumb. That's all I can say. He was just specially dumb. And y'all hush up talking about children. Y'all know y'all got some of the children out there that's specially dumb. Maybe some of y'all children. Anyway, what's up, Chef Rob? I see you out there. All right, now, but we still, we still eating. So now I'm looking at this lasagna that my child has because, number one, it looks nothing like lasagna I have ever eaten, okay, or made. So I'm really curious about what this is. So I asked my child, I say, well, what are you eating? He said lasagna. Now I'm investigating the lasagna. And the first thing I said, well, where is the meat? Right? And, you know, it's funny. I guess the kids are so used to eating it, they never thought about there was no meat in the lasagna. So he turns over one of the noodles, and it's something under there. And he goes, "Daddy, here's the meat right here." And I looks at him and say, "No, that's a piece of broccoli. That is not no meat." Right? So now he's looking at me like, "Yeah, where is the meat?" And there's the rub. So what I come up with, they don't serve the kids meat anymore in lasagna. They serve them the vegetable lasagna or the vegetarian, whatever the hell you want to call it. They ain't got no meat in it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not into the vegetarian thing. I need meat, okay? But I had my hamburger. It took me 3 bites, and it was gone. The string beans, they just opened the can and put them in there. Of course, you know, I had no salt, no hot sauce, no nothing. So that was gone, too. So I left them on there. And then the fruit, I don't know. I just left the fruit alone. So basically, I gave the school my $4. I could have just gave them a damn donation. Hell, and it took my child to McDonald's somewhere. And we would have had a better lunch. So that was my adventure at that time with this third grade, eating third grade lunch with my son. And I'm telling y'all, if you have never done it, you need to go and check it out, though, because you will come back with a greater appreciation of what your child has to go through, okay, when he's in school and he has to go and eat. I'm telling you, because it is an adventure. Yes, it is. A very, very big. what you say, Chef Rob? Blog Talk is on the decline. The quality sucks. What you talking about, man? Uh-oh, we having some problems with Blog Talk that I don't know about. Call me and talk to me, Rob. Let me know what you're talking about, man, because I don't know. But, yeah, so that was what was going on, man. I just really found that kind of interesting. I had to share that with y'all. I really did, because, you know, I won't be doing that anytime soon again. Now, I'm lying, y'all, because if he asks me, I'm going to go anyway. I know it. Now, get those one of the top stories from this week. What the heck is going on with Cat Williams, y'all? I mean, Cat is just out of control, isn't he? Golly. You know, for the last 3 weeks, Cat Williams has been in the news about something. And when I say about something, I mean about something. Because... And you're wondering what's going on. Has his own little comic acting got to him? Because he is having some issues. He really is. You know, first he hits a man in the head with a damn bottle on a tour bus, a rapper. And then he threatens people at a concert in Oak in California. Now comes to find out, he done went and messed with some people in Seattle. Now he in trouble there, too. And guess what? He's so bad, he ain't bothered to even show up for court. So, of course, you know, the judge said, well, we're going to give him a break. And he got to be in court next week again. But, I mean, what is it? You know, Cat Williams only 4'6", right? So why is he hitting people over the head with a microphone when he's performing? Huh? When he's performing, he's hitting people over the head. He threw chairs at fans and threatened the bar manager with a pool cue. I mean, come on, Cat. You know, you were doing good. You was everybody's, you know, man. Now, I don't know what you is. You just a little tiny thug. You better stop, man. Oh, Lord. You better stop. They going to call them little people out on you. It ain't going to be a good thing. Not at all. It's not going to be a good thing at all. Oh, my goodness. But really, y'all, I'm not really understanding why, what's going on with Cat. You know, is it that he's really talking on some stuff he don't need to talk to? Or is he just going through some things in life and he needs to get it fixed? You know, need some help. Maybe that's what he needs. He needs some help, and maybe we can help him with that, huh? What you think? Maybe we can help him and get him back to where he need to be. Whoopee bee. I'm just saying. You know, because sometimes you just find it strange, the stuff that they do, right? I know. All right, y'all, I'm finna try something right now. And since I know Rob is in there, Rob, I'm gonna try something, man. And I want you to let me know if you hear it, okay? And if you don't hear the music, let me know you don't hear the music. And I'm have to work on some things. All right, y'all, so I'm gonna take a little break. I'm gonna play some music, you know? Y'all know anything about that music right there? I don't know. I don't know. Can you hear the music? I just want to know. Say yes or no, and we can go on from there. You know, we trying to do some things. Hey, Rob, what's going on, man? Talk to me. What's going on with your show? You know, Chef Rob has a show on Blog Talk Radio, too, and he has some very good stuff as well. You know, we get into it a lot. But, yeah, Cat Williams, man, I don't know what's going on with Cat Williams. But we need to fix that. Oh. Rob said, ain't nothing wrong with Cat. The media just making a big deal out of all this whole thing. But right now you got the Rob. Come on now. Let's talk about this, Rob. I mean, it's not just a single incident. You know what I mean? He's been doing this for the last 2 or 3 weeks, man. So I think it's got to be a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, those entertainers, you know, they really get caught up in some of the stuff there. They really do. They get really caught up, and then it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But I don't know. I think Cat'll be all right. He's 4'9", so he should be leaving people alone, though. He really should. It's not like he's that damn big. Oh, that's right. He's not that dang on big, but it's okay. He'll be all right. Maybe he need to get some old platform shoes they used to wear back in the 70s. You know, at least get him to 5 feet. You know what I mean? Okay. Anyway, check this out, y'all. New Jersey students sickened by Bob Marley drink at school. Officials have removed a drink named after reggae icon Bob Marley after several New Jersey students were sickened. Marley's Mellow Mood contains valerian root and chamomile, chamomile, however you want to promote it, and is promoted to reduce stress. The drink's nutrition facts say it may cause drowsiness and isn't intended for children. Now, y'all heard that last line, right? It may cause drowsiness and is not intended for children. So if that's the case, why do they have these drinks in this middle school and high school? And if it does say that on the can, why didn't these kids read that? That says a lot about our education system, y'all. And I just want y'all to know, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not. Because it should more. Look, if you're drinking the drinks, that's good. But if you're a child, you shouldn't be drinking any goddang on energy drinks. Hey, you ain't working that hard to even get the dang on drink. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there, y'all. I have no idea what's going on with the society today, because it's really at the point now to where it's scary. Uh-oh. Hold on. Here we go. Ooh, somebody snuck up on me. Hey, what's going on, Mr. Joe?
I thought you were recording.
Recording what?
I thought you were a pre-recorded episode.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, because you went on and on, didn't see me, and usually you see me very, very quickly, so I thought maybe this was just a recording.
Oh, no, I was doing something else at the time.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to see if anybody was hearing the music. You know, I heard my music, but I don't know. But since you're there, you can tell me if you hear the music. But anyway, what's going on, Joe?
Yeah, I hear something in the background now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd come by and, you know, because I know on Friday nobody really gets rambunctious or out of hand or anything, and that kind of disappoints me.
That disappoints you? You know what, Joe? And you know what? I have decided that, you know, I'm going to change the format up a little bit, so maybe we can get a little rambunctious every now and then.
Oh, that would be something.
I know, right? I say, man, you know, listen, shoot, it's okay. It's still fun Friday, you know.
Yeah.
We can laugh and joke and still talk about some things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And then when you get through, just throw some music behind it. Yeah, see, I'm working on some things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I like it when it's rambunctious. But I also like it because, I know, I like your show and I come there. I've been coming fairly often now. I like it when the Troika shows up, myself, Stanley, and Rich. Because, you know, things start popping. But at the same time, sometimes we can get out of hand, and we do need, like, a little bit of order in the court.
Yeah. That's where I come in. All right, y'all, slow it down for a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know. My co-host with Shasta now, so I kind of got y'all got a little competition now. Because, you know, she ain't going to let y'all get away with a lot.
No, she tries. Well, yeah, I mean, she still engages. I mean, she still engages in the chaos. She, you know, she likes to talk over people too, and like, you know.
Yeah. You know, y'all all like to do that.
Yeah, well, we do. We do. I don't do it that much. I don't. Stanley doesn't do it hardly at all. Rich really likes to take over, and there are times when I like to get my my message out there too. But when
I know,
the women.
Huh? Go ahead.
But when the women come on, and then they just don't shut the F up.
Well, y'all, man, you know what? Yeah, y'all like lions that smell fresh meat. You know, it's like y'all out there, and y'all see the wildebeest beast that's limping.
I like that one, yeah. Hey, you know, I saw a video. You ever, you know, the wildebeest, they're not exactly known for being, you know, ferocious animals. Do you know there's a video of a wildebeest staring down rhinoceroses?
Heck yeah.
What do you mean, heck yeah?
Heck yeah. They're standing, look, the lions don't mess with them too often either.
Are you kidding me? The wildebeest? That's not a ferocious animal.
Shit. You missed out trying to mess with them going fast. I tell you what, go to Africa, meet Bianchi in Africa, and go on a safari and tell me what you find out when you go out there and talk to one.
Oh, yeah? I'm going to have to take a look at the videos and see how ferocious they are.
I mean, they're not ferocious as far as starting anything, but they will defend themselves.
Yeah, I guess a lot of them, you know, I mean, I've seen videos of, like, a mountain lion defending itself successfully against a grizzly bear, because the grizzly bear just wasn't in the mood, I suppose, of, you know, at the time. But if the grizzly bear and the mountain lion got at it, you know, the mountain lion would probably lose. But I also saw a video of a real lion fighting the bear, or a bear.
Really?
It's a draw.
It's a draw?
It's a draw. They go, because it was in a cage. It must have been a rich guy who had bought the two animals from Africa, brought them over to his private reserve, and he must have put them in the cage to see what would happen. So they fought, and then after they fought, they went to their respective ends of the cage. It was a nice, large cage. So they wouldn't have to see each other or talk to each other or visit each other at all. And the lion is going. That lion was huffing and puffing. The bear wasn't huffing and puffing. I don't know about his cardio, but neither one of them were doing anything very effective against the other. But it was fun to watch.
I bet.
You know.
Yeah. Wow.
But to see this wildebeest duck its head down, stand its ground, and, you know, show up against the... There were three of them, three rhinoceros, you know, three small ones, but they were still in rhinoceros. and the rhinoceros, whether you, I don't know if you know you believe it or not, or if you've ever thought about it or not, but the rhinoceros is the second toughest bastard on the planet.
Well, who's the first?
Large elephants. They kill the rhinoceroses.
Look, nobody bothers the elephants.
They sure don't. I saw a video where an elephant, because how large these things are. Because, you know, a hippo is huge. A hippo is 6,000 pounds, almost 3 tons. So a hippo, I've seen the video where the hippo grabs the lion and just kills it in its mouth. You know, I mean, the whole lion, poof, gone, right?
Right.
And the lion, I mean, the hippo, you can have a hippo, a tired hippo. Hippo will sit down on its haunches, and there'll be about 5 or 6 or 7 lions clawing at it, trying to eat it and everything. It doesn't faze the hippo one bit, right? They can't do anything to it. But then, hey, cause hippos love to be in water. So now there's another video where there's a bunch of hippos at, I guess, the lake. And, and this huge elephant just walks along, right? Nice and slow, right through the middle of the hippos. And one hippo is trying to bite the hippo's leg.
Uh-huh.
The hippo doesn't even stop. He just lifts up his leg and pushes the hippo away. It is amazing to see. Because the hippo is 3,000 to 6,000 pounds.
Yes.
Shit, that was nice to see that, you know. But and I thought the rhinos were the baddest creatures on the planet until I read that they were, you know, some bull elephants.
Yeah.
And
oh,
they just
yeah.
killed the rhinos.
Yeah. Nobody wants to bother them bull elephants, man. I'm telling you, them jokers. Ooh, Lord.
No. You talk about, you know, those tusks must weigh about 1,000 pounds themselves.
Yeah.
I would think.
I don't know.
It's amazing, though.
Maybe we need to call Pianki and tell him to measure one while he's over there for us.
Too bad Pianki couldn't talk the other night, because I would have liked to have asked him, why did he go all the way to Africa? You know, how did he know that this girl, you know, would have been worth the trip? He must have talked to her, seen her, and everything like that.
I know, right? That is interesting.
Yeah.
That would have been, to go all the way over there and get married. Wow. That is something else.
That does support what I said about, I don't know if I said on your show or not, but I've said on other shows, men are leaving the United States. I mean, not permanently, but they're leaving the United States to go search for women who are not American women. They'll go to Germany, they'll go to France, and a lot will go to Japan and China.
Wow. Hold on. I got to thank Chef Rob on again. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, that's you?
Yeah, what's up, man? How we doing? How you doing?
Oh,
hey, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
What's up?
Hey, let me say this thing about, you know, Pianki. I don't think he just met her. I think he met her one time he went there before. So this isn't something new with him. He's been with her, you know, he's been dealing with her for a while.
Oh, I would suspect so. I would hope so, anyway. I don't think he would just have a mail order bride and, you know, pick out somebody in a catalog and talk to her on the webcam, and then that'll be it. He must have talked to her and visited her, or she visited him, or met someplace at some mutual place, and then, you know, they took off. Yeah.
Well, you know, then it could have been an arranged marriage, so then, hey, you never know. But.
Yeah, well.
That's right.
But still, either way, man, he seems pretty happy. I mean, I talked to him on Skype a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. You know, right. Like he called into the show, you know, but because of
the buzz.
I guess that
buzz was 10 times worse than mine.
Yeah. Whew. You know, I guess the connection wasn't good, so we only could talk to him for a hot minute.
Yeah.
You know. Lord. Cause, I mean, because he had been gone a long time. I thought, you know, I wonder what had happened to him.
Oh, really? I talked to him about...
First, he had to get prepared for the trip, his packing and some stuff. But then, like, the trip was actually, like, 27 hours.
I've been there, done that one.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Oh, man, I flew to Japan. I was like, man, I mean, we done went around the world 3 times all
day. I know, right?
Same damn clouds in the same water. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, that would be good for me. You know, I'd have to commit suicide. I remember I used to take trips, 6-hour trips, and that was enough for me.
Six-hour trip? That's not no trip.
Yeah, you're right if you're going 27 hours, yeah.
trips. Yeah, I'm just saying, that's not even a trip right there. You're like, okay.
That's a nap. Now,
that's a daily drive. Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah. But for me, it's a trip because I can't stand being in a car for longer than about an hour and a half.
Really?
Nah, an hour and a half for me. It's like too damn slow.
Eric, Eric, you want to tell him what it's like riding in the back of a 2.5 or something?
I don't think you're ready for the 2.5.
Not me. Sorry.
You're like, oh, man.
I know, right?
Oh, your back, everything, wind. I was like, oh, man.
I know. But you know the funny part about that? It doesn't matter because when you're tired, you go to sleep anyway.
Yeah, you're right. You know, after a while, when you're hitting the bumps, you're like, ooh, it's just like a baby being rocked in a cradle. Like,
yep, that's it.
Yeah, maybe you get used to it. You know, I don't mind being in the car if you're going to just do some casual driving. You know, you just want to drive around and talk, and you can talk and talk. But for me to go from point A to point B, and it takes an hour and a half to get through over an hour, I'm saying, oh, God, just shoot me now. Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
No. I can't wait till Star Trek comes along with teleportation devices where you can just step inside a chamber and you can go from point A to point B anywhere in the universe in about 5 minutes. That's what I want.
Lord have mercy. Well, you know, if you're waiting around, hey, why don't you invent it?
Yeah, like I'm a nuclear scientist. Yeah, no.
Why not?
No. That's not my mathematical field. Sorry about that. No.
All right.
What
you playing? I'm playing this song called Spiritual Freedom just for you, Joe.
Well, I'm spiritually free. I just don't like to be physically confined.
Oh, see?
Uh-oh.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, Joe. But Joe, you know, you need to go out there and find them women, man. You know, you got a project.
Oh, I got a project. Look at you. What are you talking about?
I'm working on my project. I'm working on my project.
Are you working on it?
Yeah. I told you, I got to make sure it's right, Joe. I just can't be out there doing it.
I'm putting it down on my calendar for 2016 when your project's finished. Please.
Whatever.
If you got a project from me.
Uh-huh. You know what? I'm okay to do it. I ain't going to have a video. I'm going to have a tape recorder, though, so you can hear the conversation.
Okay. Man. What is it you're going to ask?
I don't know. We never decided what I was supposed to ask. We were supposed to just go up and have conversations.
No,
I may ask some questions about the show.
That's an idea. You might get some new callers, too.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. See, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's what I would ask.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody believes.
My premise is I can be able to walk up to anybody and talk to them, any woman, right? That's what it was, right?
No, it wasn't.
What was
it? Of course you can walk up to any woman and talk to them.
No, you can't either. Okay, what was it?
Oh, you forgot.
Yeah, I must have. What was it?
All right.
Hey, I got
no wonder.
I mean,
you had no intention of doing this at all.
Yes, I did, Joe. Actually, I did.
Oh, what, for a hot 5 minutes? And then after that, it was what? Go to the kitchen, get a sandwich?
It's supposed to be for a whole weekend.
Yeah, but you haven't done it for 3 weeks.
Oh, there's 2 weeks, Joe.
Oh, 2 weeks? No. You haven't done it in 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks ago we decided on this.
Was it 3 weeks?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to make this happen. But when am I supposed to... What am
Anything
I supposed
you
to
want. We're supposed about it. Going up and talk to, talk to women and find out, whether or not if they'll go out with you, if they know you're poor, or stuff like that.
Okay.
It's
all right.
It's supposed to be very, very easy. Remember, you said it's very easy to get in. You know,
let me say something, man. You go ahead and try that, but you know, to get a real good response, don't wash for about 2 weeks. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
No, man.
you better be going up to homeless women then.
Wait. Don't wash for about 2 weeks. Don't wash for about 2 weeks and put cologne on too.
Oh, oh my!
Now that makes that sense. God, yeah. I don't care how much cologne you put on, shit, it's still fucking shit.
Let's see if she can stand it. Let's see if she'll say that. I'm like, ooh, mama,
yeah,
you right. Better get the work.
Where are you go? Yeah, you say, hi, my name is. Where are you going?
Yeah. Hey, come back! Hey, come back! Hold on!
Come on, what'd I do? I'm not gonna bite you.
Yeah, what's wrong? I smell bad or something?
Wait a minute, hold on. They gonna see you coming because it's gonna be like a big old cloud around you. Right?
Probably. You know. I remember when I was in the service. They had at the BX, they had this one cologne which everybody it was two, actually two colognes which everybody bought. So everybody bought it. So if you smelled this cologne outside off the base, you knew it was a GI. You knew it was somebody from the base. Because once you smelled it, it was, yep.
Old Spice.
Oh, no. Some people bought that. It was,
Ruth?
What was that blue one?
It was the green one. It was the Jade.
Aftershave.
No. It was Karate Jade, some shit. And then
Old Karate?
The huh?
Old Karate?
No.
It was high karate, wasn't it?
Oh, high karate,
yeah.
I know had karate in it, damn it.
High karate, and the other one, Old Spice was a popular one, but the other one was, oh, shit, I forget. It's like saddle, brown, leather. It had leather in it.
English leather.
English leather, that was it.
English leather. You know what? My cousin's father got that. It's the same damn bottle been in his house, man, for about 40 years, man, and it's got like dust on it, and it's like halfway used. And every time I come to the bathroom, I'm like, man, when your dad gonna do something about this bottle? That's
it's probably a memento from when he was in the service. Those are the two popular ones, and I, you know, because I remember one girl saying, "Oh God, English leather again." She knew it right away, you know. And that high karate had that soft, it had that very smooth smell, but it was syrupy, so I didn't like it. And English leather was just a little bit too acrid for me. But Old Spice was a good one. I liked Old Spice.
Okay, that was before my time.
No, Old Spice is still around. Please.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, all right.
The good old days, the BX. Bullshit.
The BX, huh? Boy, yeah. I tell you, you were in the Navy, weren't you?
No, Air Force, BX.
Air Force?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, the Army guys had the PX. We had the BX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You ain't do nothing in the military. That's what that
you
was.
You got that right. That's why I joined it. Shit, are you kidding me? I'm not putting my ass overseas to get shot at for whoever's the president now.
Oh, so, Lord. See?
So you didn't go ahead and have to spend a couple of nights a week.
I didn't. I had
outside, keeping the same old clothes on for a minute.
I had a cushy-ass job. Air conditioning in the summer, heat in the wintertime. It was a 9-to-5-er, except for
well,
one
hell.
Thing.
Yo, you was in the Air Force. See, you don't tell Army guys no shit like that, man.
Because the Army, you work
right?
Your asses off. Sorry about that.
What are you talking about, man?
I've been in the damn pool. Hoping for a breeze in the summer.
I'm just telling you, I come back from the field, man. I'm ignorant as fuck when I come back. I'm like,
oh,
man.
Hell yeah. You kidding? I'm not fucked.
I know, right?
Shit, you think I'm gonna put on a backpack and all that and march out there and talk to them? You gotta be kidding me. Fuck
look,
that
come,
shit.
Look, come home and just pop up the whole city sewer system.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah, ooh, man, don't tell about this mouse. Boy. She's like, ooh, I ain't gonna ooh.
And yeah, wearing the fucking combat boots all the time. You got it. When I wore them, I didn't even have to march. And I got fucking sores on my feet. You think I'm going to join the Army so I can have that bullshit? You gotta be kidding.
Don't say that. Say you didn't have no combat boots on. You didn't have no boots.
Oh. Joe was a softy.
Dude, we was playing basketball and football in them damn boots.
Right? In the middle of the desert. Like, they didn't feel like tennis shoes.
Good
what
for
the
you
hell?
Guys.
Man, you got too cool, man. Hey, man. Oh, no, you didn't work. Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding? As soon as we got off base, we bought shoes, we bought sandwiches, we weren't eating the food. None of that crap. But I know what you know how they got us? Remember, I don't know if you guys ever had GI parties, but we did. You know what that was?
What?
That was every 2 freaking weeks we had to go into the office on a Saturday, right? We had to take the desks, the chairs, the cabinets. We had to move them from one side of the office to the other, strip down the wax from the floor, put on brand new wax, and put back the office chairs and the furniture and everything, and then do it again 2 weeks later. It was like, you got to be out of here.
Wait. You said office?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Man, you had the life, Joe. Hell.
I'm telling you, I know I had it, but they had to make sure that we weren't going to get too complacent. So they made us do the boring crap, the stuff that was mind-numbing. Can you imagine the same shit every 2 weeks? You have to go inside the same office. You had to take the same furniture, the same chairs, the same desk, the same business machines, the same cabinets. Move them over.
At least you were in the rear. How about spending 2 or 3 weeks out there in the damn woods?
Not me, baby.
What did I just say? Didn't I just say you go ahead and you be out there playing around bugs and crickets and all kinds of shit, crawling on you all the fucking time? You can't move.
Not me. You're making me mad, Joe.
Early in the morning out there laying down on that damn wet-ass grass. Come on,
I'll tell you what. That's for the Marines and for the Army. Not for me. You guys volunteered for that shit.
I'm about
good
staying,
luck.
Too.
I tell you one thing. If I had to go over to Iraq and have to get bit by one of those camel spiders... Shit.
Oh, man. Dude, man, I used to see people go ahead and grab all that stuff and cook it and eat it. I was like, ooh, y'all crazy.
Well, that must have been some hungry-ass Arabs.
Yeah, I was like, man, they were taking it over fire, man. I was like, man, y'all...
Look, see, what y'all see is on TV is not what is really out there. They got jokers live out there. What they call them, the Bedouins or whatever?
Bedouins, yeah.
Yeah, them cats live in the... I mean, when they say in the desert, them jokers...
Who would they be? Veterans?
Yeah, they live out there, man. Now, you talking about stinking. Now, if you want to go ahead and get some, you know, ideas on how to stink.
Well, yeah, if you don't have a shower for days. Did you say, what'd you call them again? Veterans?
Bedouins.
Oh, Bedouins, what are they?
No, Bedouins.
Bedouins?
They live out in the desert and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they don't even know what water looks like. Christ.
Yeah, they do, but they use it for their camels and their crops.
Yeah,
they don't use it for themselves.
Yeah.
Not fairly.
I gotta give credit to the Saudi Arabians for living out in the desert the way they did. Oh, they do. For living out there, I mean, like Afghanistan's got to be the roughest people on the planet. They can't be conquered by the Russians. They can't be conquered by us. They got to be the roughest motherfuckers on the planet.
They always have. Hell. All that poppy out there,
they're always high. We control the poppy.
I know. That's why they get high. Because we give it to them.
They're getting it firsthand over there. So, yo, you get it over here, so they're getting the uncut.
They get the pure version.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must be some rough-ass motherfucker living in those caves and caverns.
You know, one of the things that stand out for you, man, is like if you get to shake one of them hands and you see them extend their hands, you're like, ooh, that smell. But their hands, you're like, man, you need to clean your nails and wash your hands.
I don't feel that way. I mean, they're true nomads and they're true desert and rough terrain kind of people. I mean, I can't blame them for that. They don't have toilets. They don't have. Look, you know what? Americans are so goddamn lucky. I am a very, very grateful for the life that I have. Very grateful. I get up in the morning. What happens? I turn a few feet to the right, to the left. There's running water. There's a toilet. There's a shower. There's a kitchen. There's a kitchen sink. There's a refrigerator. Oh, God, do I feel lucky. Whew.
Come on now. All right. Take it from a man who's spent all this. You need to come on out in the field, man. I don't like to go camping to this day because my arm...
I don't blame you.
Me.
Okay.
I don't blame you.
Hey, look, my child be all my daddy, let's go camping. No, I did that already.
Right? I did camping for 24 miles nonstop. Camping's not for me.
Yeah. No.
Please. To this day, I got psychological problems with fucking moving shit and cleaning and crap. Jesus. Oh, shit, you have to get on your knees and clean. Well, I mean, compared to you guys, I had it easy. But, I mean, for us, when we first enter the service, when we know we're going to have a desk job, right? It's a 9-to-5er. It's a beautiful job. We all know that. But then on the weekends, you got to get on your knees and you got to put your head underneath the urinal and you got to use a razor blade to get that rust out and everything. Fuck. God, Jesus, you know, and we're asking, you know, oh, why me? Well, because you're in the air. They want to make sure you don't feel that good.
You know what? We had I was in a water purification unit, water treatment and stuff. So a lot of stuff get rusty. So it was one guy that showed me, to this day, I don't mess with Kool-Aid. One guy told me, hey, look, best way to go ahead and clean that rust off, go get that butt juice, that crap that they be drinking over there, mm-hmm. and pour it in this bucket, no sugar. Ooh, man. Pour it in the bucket, put it in, and put some water, and put those steel pieces from the truck in there, you know, mm-hmm. parts from the truck. Come back after lunch about an hour, man. All these guys did was just wipe it off with a little napkin, and that stuff was shiny. Man, do you know my stomach was killing me?
I can believe it.
My stomach was killing me because I used to go ahead and fill up big jugs of that and ice and walk around like, throw some lemons on it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I saw that. I was like, I've been drinking this stuff for years. And I stopped messing with it at that point.
Yeah, that was real bug juice. That wasn't Kool-Aid. That was bug juice. That was that shit that they had, like, probably crystalline shit they put into a jar or into a tub, and they put water in it and mix it all around and shit. Yeah. It's like Coca-Cola. You know what? The same thing with Coca-Cola. Put some shit inside Coca-Cola. Let it stay there for a while.
Look, now I'm going to tell you why I drink Coca-Cola. Anything that can click to get erosion off a battery, I'm not drinking.
I don't blame you. Are you kidding?
Now, that is something I won't drink.
It's the same thing with Kool-Aid. It's the same with that stuff. It was made by Kool-Aid and these other places, man. Mm-hmm. Weiler's and all this stuff. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Same stuff. So, yo, hey, I don't mess with it.
Kool-Aid will take varnish off of furniture. So you
see
know that shit's bad.
You know what I'm saying? It did that thing to those steel, to those sparks, man.
Oh, God. Jesus. That's why I don't like processed food or any of that bullshit, you know. Nah.
You know what?
I believe them. You take the fucking parts out of a truck, you put them in that fucking mixture, let it stay there for a few hours. Come on back.
I don't care. I'm keep drinking my red Kool-Aid. I don't care what the hell they do.
Well, this Kool-Aid that we buy is different than what was in the service.
But you know what we do, man, during Saudi? You know, because, you know, I was a truck driver, so we was always on the go. You know, and we had all of the MREs. So when we stop, man, we take and put the MRE down the stack of the truck,
mm-hmm.
give it about 2 or 3 seconds, and push the gas. And that sucker shoot the food out. Man, you talking about something good and hot.
Instant barbecue, huh?
Early in the morning, that's all you hear, trucks, engines revving up and stuff just coming out the stacks.
You know what was amazing to me? Because, like, we was getting them MREs, they was cool, but every now and then they still had them old boxes of C-rations. I was like, ooh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to touch
the
C-rations.
I have no problem with C-rations.
No, I wouldn't want to touch that shit.
I had been in for a minute, and they was like, okay, well, we ain't got this. Take these boxes. I was like, oh, no. The last time I had one of the boxes, we stayed with them for almost a week, Timbers. I was like, oh, can't do it no more.
What would you guys like to be? Would you guys, if you had to have a choice? Now, of course, if we have a choice now, we don't want it. But if you had to have a choice between doing what you normally were doing in the Army, right? Or you could switch from there, go to the Marines, but the Marines would be the Naval Marines. You know, well, they're always like Naval Marines. But you had to be on a boat where you only had about like 7 inches of space between you and the wall. And you had to have the kind of sleeping arrangements where the guy was only 2 inches away from you.
Joe, no.
Hell.
I had to go ahead and spend a month on a boat, man.
Would you rather do the Army shit or would you rather do the Navy shit?
I'd rather stay on the Navy, man. I mean, I'd rather stay in the Army, man. Cause that boat, I was like, man, yeah. And then when they went through. Oh, no, you that rocking and stuff, man. I mean, we went to Hawaii. That was cool.
Uh-huh.
But getting there, man, oh, man, going in circles and spinning it. Man, they had that boat And it was like clear water. I mean, it was like clear days. It wasn't no clouds.
Yeah, no waves or anything, huh?
No, it was like a lot. It was kind of calm.
Very
but
calm.
But every now and then, they want to go ahead and push that boat up to as fast as it can go, and
uh-huh.
then make quick turns. Oh,
uh-huh.
dude, oh man, that was I wanted to go.
They were torturing you. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, somebody was flying everywhere, man. I'm like, man, somebody need their ass. Look for this.
yeah, I mean, you had to be a special type of person to have submarine duty, because you had to spend, I remember a friend of mine a few years ago, he volunteered for submarine duty. It was 6 years mandatory. So submarines,
uh-huh.
I haven't heard from them since. I don't know if they drowned him, if he drowned himself, for 6 years underneath the water. I mean, you don't do 6 years continuously, but you do something like sometimes, if you're a special duty, you can do 2 months underneath the water.
Look, that's a little bit too much for me. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. When I'm telling you, I appreciate the fucking Air Force. I appreciate
the
Air Force.
Look at that, man. You talking about 6 months underwater in a little tiny tube.
That's right.
Oh, heck no.
And you think the guys... You think all of them have even tempers? You got to stay with these people. You think there are no bloody ass fights on the submarine or on a destroyer? Please.
Look, it's more than some fights going on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, you know what?
Don't drop the soap is what you're talking about. I bet.
I didn't really see no of that. You know, sword fighting and sword swallowing kind of deal. The thing that I did see was, man, it was you talking about some pissed off guys a lot of times, man. Hey, don't talk, blah, blah, blah. Man, just move on. Man. Man. And the little space where you sleep, right, it's like three beds, three, like,
uh-huh.
Racks or whatever. And it's like three, almost like 12 going down the aisle and stuff, man. And, like, you go through there and ain't much space. You don't definitely rub against somebody. But every now and then, some guy want to go ahead and be there, like the one who's in the middle.
Uh-huh.
He having the hardest, because some guy might want to go through that fart, man. It's
oh,
awful.
Yeah.
Awful, man. It's awful.
Wow.
A lot of tempers had. I mean, you. Because, you know why I'm thinking of that now? Remember how Christopher Columbus discovered America, right? And I'm thinking back to movies I saw where the British would conscript sailors onto these ships. So they'd go to the bars and they'd knock people out, or they'd get people who were drunk, you know, people that nobody give a shit about, and they bring them on to the ship. Can you imagine how cruel the captain of a fucking boat had to be in order to make sure that his people were not going to mutiny? You had to have like a whip every 5 seconds, or you had to make an example out of somebody by hanging them up from the spar arm or whatever they call it. Oh, and then you take a look at that and you compare it to our American Navy, which is pretty modern, pretty civilized. But still, if you're in a tube for 2 months, you gotta go. You gotta want to kill whoever you look at.
Yeah. I can see that.
You know what? We need to talk to some of these submariners, because I don't hear too many people talk about their experiences on the submarine. They just kind of like walk away from it.
They go to a psychiatrist and they go to the hospital and they stay there for 20 years and nobody wants to know about it, because if they do, nobody will join the submarine crew anymore.
I know, right?
So what you're saying is most of those guys I see when I go to the VA, when I go to the hospital, the ones sitting over there talking to themselves were on a submarine, is what you're saying?
Probably. Probably. You know, come to think of it, because I hadn't thought about it until now, but I mean, it's got to be rough duty for somebody to be stored up in a tube for about 2 months underwater, or even a month underwater at a time, because you're on those nuclear submarines, so, you know, you can last for a long, long time. And tempers have got to be worn thin. They have to flare. Have to.
Yeah, they do. And you know something else I noticed? You may have some guys, you know, they on duty, they on watch, and they got like sidearms and firearms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every guy on the boat, man, got a knife.
They probably made it themselves, right?
Some of them did, man. Almost every guy on the boat got a knife, man. I'm like, well,
my goodness.
Yeah, and they ain't dull either, because you see some guys sitting right in front of the TV just sharpening and sharpening and sharpening with their rock and everything. I'm like, oh,
that's probably a warning to the guy next to him. Don't fuck with me tonight.
I don't be messing around with these cats, man. I couldn't wait till my time was up, man. 30 days.
I know, right?
30 days? Yeah. Yep. That must have been one of the longest 30-day periods you ever had.
You ain't lying. Because we spent like about two and a half weeks just playing around in the water. Then we went to Hawaii. Then we jumped back on the water. We rode around Hawaii a little bit, and we jumped back in. And it took about a month.
Why they give you that 30-day? What do they call it? TDY? Because they would call it TDY.
Yeah, TDY. It was what was it? I really wasn't doing nothing because I was in a water treatment thing. But they were trying to go ahead and see about. I was on one of them kind of boats where they could put in the like the Humvees and trucks and stuff, and it opens up LSD, I think it's called. One, two, six, something. So they were just going every now and then. They said they do that. Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we here. Go ahead.
Yeah, every now and then they said they do that. So, no, they pick some units to go ahead and ride out with it. And I was like, okay, man. I was like, oh, man, all the way to California.
You know what, though? You know, you brought up a good point. You know, hey, Eric, you know, you could do that. If you found somebody on your Facebook page, you know, if you said anybody who's a former submariner, if you'd like to get on the show and talk about your adventures or something like that.
No, I got an uncle that was in the Navy. Uh-huh. You know, he was out there on them things. No, I climbed him too bad. I know he ain't going to join us, get on the show.
Yeah, well, he was probably in the destroyer or a battleship, right?
Yeah. And I'd be on me and my cousin, who was in the Marines, man, we dog him out all the time every time we get together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if they had open air, though. I mean, they could travel across the water, and they could, you know, look out into the rise and everything. But I'd love to talk to a goddamn submariner. I want to find out how the hell could you take living in a tube for 30 days at a time.
Yeah. You know what? Because I said this weekend I'm start a Facebook page for the show.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'm going to put that out there and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, because
that would be interesting.
Yeah. Because, you know, every day now, there's somebody who's coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq who's committing suicide. There are more suicides now, I think, in the last year than were killed in the last year in Iraq and Afghanistan. The returning soldiers are committing more suicides than who died in Iraq or Afghanistan. I forget if it's both combined or one of them in the past year. So, I mean, people are really getting really torn up over the war in Iraq.
You know what? Well, you know, here's something else. It's not only, you know, and I saw this was brief, and it's a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It's also some of the guys that's coming back, some of the people who know them or who've been reading about it, some older vets,
mm-hmm.
it's been bringing back memories for them, and they've been doing themselves too.
No kidding. Yeah?
Wow. It's reopening old wounds. Is what
You know what? I foresee a show talking about my veterans. I foresee a show on the veterans.
Because we don't get what we deserve. Even we Air Force guys who had it soft.
Man, yeah, you know what, man? Veterans are just political pawns, man.
That's
all this
it.
Stuff that they keep saying they want to go ahead and pose and all these pictures. So when you ask them some real questions, man, they're like politicians, they run from it. Like I know, I a little while ago I was doing the thing because it affected me. I know there's some vets who are being harassed on their job and even fired.
Uh-huh.
And so they all these politicians are always talking about, well, we got protected so you can get the job. But no, I want to hear some protections for when you get the job and then sign the job so they stop harassing you and bothering you and firing you. Because I got a video from some vets in North Carolina, I think it was, and they were saying how that's what they do with their job. And these were federal employees. You got people who are non-vets who just harass vets constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff was being said to them like, hey, look, I don't think that you deserve to get any of those benefits. Nothing. So
we get treated shabbily. Eric, I'm going to call back in about 20 minutes. I have to do something right now.
All right.
Okay, I'll be back in about 20 minutes.
All right. You know what, Rob, though, but that is so true, man. That is so true. And the VA, you know what the bad part is? The VA has a lot to do with that, too, though.
Yeah, man, because that's part of what I'm going through right now. You know, the job I was working, federal job also, man, they use vets as political pawns. So, you know, they'll pose around and praise you around and take pictures with you. So let's deal with some real issues. Okay, they're not hiring a lot of vets. They said a lot of these vets, he said, what was it, the statistic I saw? I think it was saying like it was high too. I think it was either 30 or 35% of you got 35% of vets unemployed.
Right.
that's more than the rest of the, you know, almost everybody, if you put everybody up, you know, against that number. But my thing is once you get in there, people are going to go ahead and just hire you for the tax breaks other stuff. You a pawn once you get inside. So, they don't give a damn and once you get there. Okay, so you know, their thing is to go ahead. We'll get rid of you, get some more tax breaks, and bring on somebody else. Well, he didn't work out. She didn't work out.
Yeah,
and that's what I've been seeing. It's a messed up pattern, and no politician wants to deal with it because I've sent a lot of stuff. I'm in Illinois, and I've been seeing this for a long time. Even Barack Obama, when he was a senator here, I sent some stuff to his office, let him know that this was going on with the people at my job. Okay, so they sent out a release of information slip so people can sign that. So people signed that back, but there was really no follow-up. There was nothing else going on after
that. See?
All the senators here, Dick Durbin and every other representative I tried to contact and get them, let them know what was going on, the ones who are on these different committees, dealing with the Veterans Committee and stuff, none of them addressed that issue, man. None of them, not one.
None. And you know what, that's the bad part about it, though. Now, what's going to happen, though, the closer it get to election time for them to get back in, you know, in their little seats, oh, yeah, they're going to want to talk to veterans then. You know what I mean?
But, it's about to come up again. I think, what is it? It's still K-13. Well, 2014. A lot of them going to be up for re-election then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to deal with that. I tried to go ahead and put that out. And if I ever come across one of them standing in front of a camera, I'm going to be yelling that shit out.
So you can be escorted away and tell it to the news cameras for real then.
Yeah, like come talk to me. I can tell you. Especially if it's one of the ones I tried to contact.
And some of these employees, man, you know, they say, oh, well, we support the veterans and blase blase. And as soon as they hire you and you say, well, you know, I got an appointment for this and this, and then they become scared, like, well, we really, then they find anything they can to get rid of you. You know, of course, they're basing it on something totally frivolous. You know, the real reason is they scared, you know, because you told them maybe, you know, you have PTSD and you got to go to, you know, you have to go to therapy or something like that. Now they scared all of a sudden. So, they, you know, and it's just little stupid stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
It's just wild.
What did you get? I got a couple of letters. I got a couple of letters. It was like, hey, would you like to come on in for what is it, PTSD screening? They asked me if I want to come in for some screening or interview or something. It was a while back.
Oh, well, I've already been diagnosed with it, so.
Oh, cool.
You know,
that's.
I'm just. Yeah.
So, please. Okay, so it justifies us standing in the middle of the street getting drunk and throwing tequila bottles.
No. Because somebody may throw something more than a tequila bottle back at you.
Well, let's have to wait. Make sure we got enough ammo, man. Make sure we got enough.
Stop, Rob. Stop.
You know, I ain't going to lie. I was wild on active duty. So yeah.
I tell people that now. I say, y'all just don't know. I still got my ninja suit. Y'all don't know. I be watching you. You never know I'm there.
Oh.
Let us, Lord. I say, y'all about to keep laughing.
Shoot.
No. Where were you stationed at?
I was in Fort Leonard Wood.
Oh. It's cold up there.
Yeah. Well, you try going ahead and digging in the ground, man, with a serving spoon when it's 6 degrees below zero.
No.
It's like, hey, get your entrenching tool. Man, come on. You got to get real here.
Look. I ain't gonna lie, I went to basic at Fort Dix, right? New Jersey.
Oh, so you know.
One night we went to sleep, right? It was nice outside when we went to sleep. Okay.
Good.
Man, we woke up and it was all this white stuff on the ground. Now, me being from Florida, I don't know what this white stuff is. You know, what the hell is that? Well, that's snow. Okay, that's cool. But, I didn't hear it fall, you know, because I'm used to thunderstorms and stuff where you can hear it hitting something. So, no, you know, it's there. Then we go and stand out. And then, you know, of course, we got to get on the cattle cars. You know what the cattle cars are. You know, so we got to wait on the cattle cars. Well, in the middle of standing out there waiting on the cars, begins to snow heavier. You know, so now I'm really getting a case of ass because, you know, them little raggedy boots done got wet, so they ain't worth a crap no more. My feet cold. I'm cold. So I'm really having a fit right about now. Inside, like, what the hell? Why are we standing out here in this mess? You know? Man, after, what, 3-4 hours? Then they find out the cattle car's not coming. Hell, I could have told you that. And I just figured out this was no hell.
I grew up in Chicago, so I was kind of like used to it, but I had never slept in it. So that was a whole other experience for me right there. Walking in it, trying to go ahead and get through it, man, maneuvering through it was cool, but sleeping in it, I was like, man, you just got to be crazy, man. And really, that experience made me say, I hate snow to this.
Well, I was in Germany on guard duty, man. And same thing. It was nice outside when they put me on guard. I was private man. I just got the wheels in the field. You know, so advanced party, I got to be the gate guard. Man. So it started snowing. So I'm like, okay, they're going to come out here and, you know, check on me, what have you. Man, I had to stay out there for like 36 damn hours. and the whole time I'm looking at warthogs walk across the snow. And I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm trying to look where I'm going to run to, how I'm going to run in all this deep-ass snow. Now I said, boy, I'm telling you, man, they treat you bad.
Yeah, man. I don't like that snow either, man. I mean, like, I know what you mean, man. Because I remember this one guy was in my unit. Man, I never forget. His name was Hunter, man. He came from Florida, man. Dude, the reactions, this dude. I used to sit just like, man, he'd be like, he was going through some things.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know about no damn snow, man.
He grew up in Miami, man. I say, honey, you all right? He said, man, every day he was cussing, man. And he would sometimes he'd be looking out the window and it's snow. He was like, man, do we have to go out there again? Yeah, I was like, dude was going through it, man.
I feel his pain. I feel his pain, man. It's funny because I had a partner. My partner basically was from Chicago. His name was Gordon. You know, and Gordon used to laugh at me. Like, whatever, Gordon. This ain't funny.
I'm with Gordon, goddamn it. Because I said, look at this motherfucker, man. And dude would try to go in and compensate, you know, like, I'm not going to get cold today. And be putting on, you know, them long johns and all them shit they had, man. Dude would go ahead and put like, pal, man. I'd be like, dude, don't do that. You're going to sweat. You're going to damn near pass out here, man.
Hey, look, we from Florida. We don't know all that shit. It's cold out there. We want to be warm when we're out there. You know, we ain't worried about that sweating part. We used to sweating. We just want to be cold.
Hey, man. He used to make me laugh, man. So if you act like that, man, I think I'd have been on the floor watching you.
Whatever. Look, I ain't used to no damn snow. You got me out here in all this old cold, white, wet stuff. Yeah.
Man, it was times like, right, you know, every now and then they were like, okay, well, with us, we got to go ahead and go to the range and all this other stuff, play around out there. You got to go requalify on some old silliness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he get out there, when it was cold, man, dude wouldn't shoot for nothing. He'd be down there trying to go cover up. And he couldn't function, man. Dude was messed up. And then on top of that, he got orders to Germany, too.
See?
I was like, man, no. Oh, man, that was funny, man. He's just watching, man. So I can imagine what you were going through, man. It was just hilarious. Cause I grew up in Chicago, so I'm used to it. Like Chicago, it could be 70 degrees today and damn near below zero tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's why I never moved to Chicago. Chicago, New York. I was born in New York. I ain't living there, though. Virginia, they get snow, too. Hell no. Anywhere there's a possibility to get snow that stays, no. I'm not going. I'm sorry. Hell no.
Yeah, I had a good time, though. But I had a good time. We went to other places. When we was in Hawaii. Now, that was cool, man. That was real cool. Took like one of them helicopter rides over the near the volcano and stuff. That was no. I couldn't imagine a damn volcano here in Chicago, man. Ooh, good.
I know, right? That'd be ugly. That'd be ugly, man. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I don't know. They say they got them everywhere, so I don't know. Y'all may be sitting on top of one, just don't know it yet. Right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because here in this area, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. There was an earthquake here in Chicago, man. A couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I get you silent, man, but yeah, there's some shit to think about, really.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. You know what, though? There's a whole lot of them beginning to happen in the middle of the country now. Oklahoma, Iowa, Nebraska. Hey, I'm telling you. The hell, the whole damn country sits on a damn fault one way or another. Mm-hmm. California got it bad because they got the biggest out there where they are. So,
oh, man. Yeah. Being out there, man. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was up in Sacramento. You know, they have them up there, and then I live in San Diego, man, and, you know, the ground shakes a lot. Ground moving a lot. Boy.
Look, I be laying in my bed sometimes. I swear I be shaking the bed shakes for a moment. I'm like, okay.
Hey, don't doubt it, man. Don't doubt it, because these people think they're safe where they're at. You know, it's, I mean, like, you know, not to put the people down on the East Coast, but, you know, they never thought that Sandy would come up there and whoop their ass like
that.
I
know, right? I know, right? I know. That goes to show you, man. Like you say, ain't nobody safe anymore. You know, back in the day, used to be, but not anymore.
Yep, yep.
Nope. Hey, what you think about, you know, Sony? Is it Sony? No matter, one of these damn companies coming out with some machine that's going to be able to watch you, and depending on what you're looking and what you say, going to be able to play, what they call it, commercials and stuff. Commercials and things, but it's going to be able to record. Yeah, here it is. New DVR will use camera microphone to target advertisers based on recordings of users. Yeah.
Record the users?
Yeah, Verizon.
Wait.
By filming and recording viewers in order to send the targeted ads through their TVs.
Wait, hold it. This is not something new, honestly.
It's not something new.
When they had that, when, like some of the earlier cable boxes, they had been doing that. They've been doing that already. Now they're just going to put it on the market to sell it to people. Because I think it was like the Nielsen people, Nielsen rating people. They don't come in there. A friend of mine put me up on them. If you notice, when they do like the Nielsen thing, they don't come to everybody's home. They definitely come to no black people's home. So they got in a whole lot of other people's home.
I know, right?
So they got this, and they had them boxes for a long time. Now they're coming out to go ahead and sell them to you. And then I really feel that, hey, look, unless you take a sledgehammer to the box you have already, you don't know what's inside.
That's true. Well, you know, I don't have cable, so I don't have to worry about it. I got an open air antenna. I refuse to pay. Look, I refuse to pay them. I'm sorry.
So when the antenna go out, what you got one of your the neighbor's kids standing out there holding his hands out looking like a scarecrow? What are you talking about, man?
No. Well, see, what happens is when the antenna go out, I got one of them little boxes that you can get from Walmart that you can hook to a computer and stream movies. See, I got one of those. So I'm covered either way.
Okay, man.
I don't know. No, I tried to get my son to stand out there hold it one time. He looked at me like, I was crazy. What in the world? What in the world? Rob, what are you doing? All right. I'm done took off. All right, y'all. Y'all see how things go on Fun Friday? Oh, Lord.
Music.
Okay. I don't know. That was Rob with his music. I don't know where that came from. All of a sudden, he had music playing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, Joe, you want to set up your date for tonight?
You know what? I just finished, and the reason why I left this show, there's another show that I wanted to talk to because they're talking about soap operas. And General Hospital, which is a soap opera I like to watch, there are...
General Hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find one. I watch General Hospital. I don't watch the others, but General Hospital is very good. And I used to have another one besides General Hospital, but this one's pretty good.
Watch Young and the Restless, man. Get on Sweet Dick
Willie. Oh, that's what these chicks are always talking about. Young and the Restless. Young and the Restless. I mean, you should
that's
call
right.
in this show.
Sweet Dick Willie is the man.
Well, they probably love him. They probably love him. But they,
you're talking
all...
about Victor, man.
Huh?
Victor Newman.
Oh, yeah, he's been around for 25 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. No, he's been on Rat Patrol and all that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's still, yeah, I think he's probably one of the reigning characters in the soap opera world. 25 years, same characters, like Luke Spencer.
Yeah.
So the reason why I went to the show is because, you know, they talk about it, and I wanted to find out their opinion about these two characters in General Hospital. The one is Spinelli, and the other one is his brand-new girlfriend called Ellie. Because Ellie, because you know how we always talk in your show about relationships.
Right.
Well, this girl, to me, is the girl that I would love to meet.
Oh, Lord.
She is a down-to-earth girl. She has a quirk.
But
you can trust her. She's smart. She's in. When she's into you, she's into you. There's no drama. Oh, God. And they like her. So, you know.
Oh, whatever.
I wanted
Hold
to
on.
Find
Somebody else on the line, Joe. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Man. Well, good evening, yo. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Man, what's going on, bro? I ain't fell off the face of the offer yet. Ain't we got a schedule for that? Ain't that supposed to be like the 21st or something?
What's that?
Falling off the face of the earth.
Oh, the Mayan calendar shit.
Yeah.
No damn body Mayan. So I ain't going by the damn calendar.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's believing in that.
No.
Hey, but I believe it. That's why I'm getting my spaceship ready.
Yeah,
I will tell you
ship.
Something. There was a bad, like a beautiful meteor. A meteor came in North Texas the other day. This morning, actually, it was nice.
Really?
It blew up in the sky, and all these greens and blues and purples. It was interesting.
Wow, that's
that
a mothership, man. Letting y'all know.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want to be on a mothership. I want to be on a daughter ship.
Yeah. Well, on the mothership, you'll have access to 1,000 daughters.
Yeah.
Well, damn, where do I sign?
I mean, they virgins.
See, now, I don't want all that work.
Yeah.
No, they live in a traditional life, so they're virgins. Ain't that what Rich says?
Well, yeah, that's what Shasta says, too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I keep it real, man. I just had to
be that girl. Yeah, well, I'm a traditional woman. Yeah, that means you want to take a man for every buck he's got. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
No, I already got one of those, man. I can't be splitting bucks in half.
Well, that's the tradition.
Wow. What's going on, Tony, man? Where you been?
Man, I've been working, man. Working hard, hardly working, you know.
Okay.
I'm working on the new stuff for January. We're going to come out hard and strong for the entire, you know, from there on out. We just decided to, you know, not do too much during the holidays because there's a lot of things that we're into.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're going to bring our show back on the air, and we're going to have everything with the fans organization back up and running in January.
Oh, okay.
We're running now, but, you know, we're not really pushing nothing.
Right.
Yeah, we're supporting a lot of different things.
Okay.
So what is it, a political show or a general show?
No, actually, we have a radio show, and we're an organization. Families also need support systems. We help families in need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like children that need clothing or food, or families that need food and stuff like that. But I have a couple topics on that show. What You Gotta Say Wednesday, we pull a topic out, you know, from anywhere we could find it, basically from the news.
He be stealing my Fun Friday stuff.
Nah, man, see, but I come on before you, so you be trying to bite my stuff. You
know, look, I've been and researched it already. You be saying it.
Nah, but we got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of different topics. We still have our Blog Talk Radio page up. We just don't, you know, have any show scheduled. So check it out.
Yeah, it's a good show though, Joe. It really is.
Yeah, okay.
One of the ones I started following when I first came on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, when we get on there, we don't talk about, our organization as much. We talk about stuff that matters to people. You know, we got some controversy up there. You know, we talk about people getting locked up and, like, Randy Travis, and his thing.
He got locked up because he wasn't supposed to.
Well, he got locked up because he decided to be butt-ass naked running down the street up here in North
Texas.
That must
have been after the other incident.
Because
I remember reading about him about 6 weeks ago, and being a celebrity, he didn't really have to do anything. But now if he had to run around the streets butt naked, I guess he has to do sometimes.
That was before then. But anyway, that's like Cat Williams, man. He 4'6", and he jumping on people.
I don't know anything about Cat Williams.
I'm telling you. Threatening, hitting folks in the head with microphones and threatening to fight on me.
I'm telling you. Hey, man, I got to go do the bid with the wife, man. I'll call you right back in here in a minute.
All right, Tony.
All right, be right back.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Joe, you know what? It was this lady. Mm-hmm. It's this lady. What's her name? Suzanne Verbeck.
Okay.
And she has written a book. And when I saw, she was on The View today, so I watched The View. And she wrote a book about the book says how, wait a minute, let me see, I wrote it down on something. Anyway, it's saying how successful women are ruining, the reason why men aren't, don't want to get married now. I can't even find the paper. But I got it somewhere right here. But yeah, and she was on The View and everything, man. And some women are upset about that. Because she's saying basically, with the women, that hear me roar, they just ruining everything. That's why men don't want to marry them. And I thought about our conversations all this week when I heard this. I was like, wow.
Well, that's some validation of what I was talking about, what Rich was talking about, and what Stan was talking about. Because, I personally have said openly, I don't advocate marriage anymore because as soon as you get married, it's an automatic prenup in favor of the woman. Now, you may love her and she may love you, but so what? People fall out of love all the time. And when you work that hard to acquire those many assets and that much wealth, to me it's not fair that even if she's making as much or maybe just a little bit less in terms of the salary or the money that she's making than the man that she marries, it's not fair to give somebody divorce insurance. You fall out of love, she's capable of taking care of herself, yet in a state like California, which is a no-fault state, I'm entitled to half of what this guy makes. That's not fair. It's not right. It's not morally right. It's bullshit.
Damn. You say divorce insurance? That's what that is?
Look, if you're making $100,000 a year and you're living in California and the girl's making $100,000, $125,000, maybe not more, but let's say $90,000, and you get divorced, whatever you've acquired is half hers. So, you might as well sign over your goddamn mortgage and everything else to her.
Wow.
So is that fair?
Okay. No, that ain't fair. That's like what Eddie Murphy used to say. Give me half. Eddie.
I saw that show. He says, you marry, she's got half. And I remember him emphasizing that. But what's that show? The celebrity, the wives of celebrities. He married this good-looking chick. Have you ever seen his ex-wife?
Who?
Eddie Murphy.
No. I may have. I probably
look her up
no
on. Look her up on you. Yahoo, not Yahoo, but Google's images. Look up like Eddie Murphy's wife. Very, very good looking.
Really?
Very good. I mean,
I thought him and Arsenio had something going on.
Who?
Arsenio Hall.
You mean gay?
I mean,
why can't a guy have a buddy?
Look, every time you turn around, Arsenio was talking about Eddie, so I was just wondering.
They did a few movies together. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, no, they did a little bit more than movies together.
Oh, yeah. Who told you this?
Hey, he did. I mean, he used to be on his own, because Arsenio had his own show.
Yeah, I know.
And he used to have Eddie Murphy's name all on the bottom of his shoes and stuff.
Was that before we met him or after?
That was during.
That was when he. They were friends, and I don't know. Maybe, yeah, that does sound like a love connection, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they made a couple movies. Who knows? But and then Eddie Murphy got caught with a transvestite. So
that's right. Sure did.
Mm.
See. See,
yeah,
y'all, y'all didn't remember that, did you?
Hey, Arsenio Hall's never been married, right?
Not that I'm aware of, nope.
Yeah, they may be lovers. Who knows? They may be, but, you know.
Y'all open Friday.
Yeah. Whatever they want to do, you know, over there in California, anything goes.
Anything?
Just about.
Just about.
Really? In California? Christ. I don't even think it's part of the normal world.
Well, it could be. It could be because, you know, I don't know. They out there in Washington, you know, they smoking weed now. How's that going to work, though, Joe?
Mm.
Now, the state say you can smoke weed, but the federal government say it's illegal. What? How are they going to work that one out?
You know what, Eric? That's a damn good question. That sets up a battle between the federal government and the state government. So
yes,
who's going to win? I'd like to be interested. You know, I'm interested in that myself.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because... That is too wild.
I personally would favor the state. I would say the state, leave the state alone, let it do its own business. And, you know, but a lot of people would say, well, if it weren't for the federal government, a lot of atrocities would not have been corrected. And I think that's true. But at the same time, the federal government is responsible for a lot of atrocities also. And I think that if one state is responsible for an atrocity, people can leave that state, but if the federal government is responsible for a nationwide oppression, tyranny, and atrocities, you can't leave. You might, you know, you might be able to go to Europe, but I mean, how many people actually have the money where they can just pick up and leave and go to Europe and settle?
I know, right? Hold on, let me bring Ron back in.
Okay.
Hey, man, what's up with the music? The music, man. And there he go. All right, Rob. I muted you, man. Because you got that music going. If I want music to play, I got a DJ set up here. I can do my own music.
But that's your question, Eric. I don't know. I like to have a discussion about that too.
Yeah. You know, maybe I'll bring it up on Open Mic Monday, because that is something interesting that really discuss.
Yeah.
You know, and where was it, Washington and what, Colorado? I think Colorado, too.
What happened there?
Same thing. About the weed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, so, yeah. You know.
Oh, there are two states that are, I don't know if one banned the TSA. I'd have to read the article. But there's one state which is in conflict with the federal government about the TSA at its airports. And there's another state which is fighting to remove the TSA, too.
Well, I mean, they're stealing stuff, man.
Well, yeah, and they're patting down our kids, and they're groping our children and everything. Hey.
I know. So, yeah, I think maybe they need to go. But then again, you know what's going to happen, though? Soon as something happened, everybody going to start crying. Well, you should have never let them go.
That's true. Very true. Some false flag would come around, and the people go, yeah, we need the TSA back again.
Yeah,
we don't want an underwear bomber.
that was
false all by itself. I think they had what? They had two bombers on the planes. One of them was the underwear bomber. The other one was the sneaker bomber, and they both couldn't detonate the bomb. I mean,
I know, right?
You had to think it was a setup. You had to know.
You know what? I'm liable to believe to agree with you on that one. You know,
Jesus Christ, two fucking bombers, both higher than the kite, can't detonate their own bomb. One of them passed through customs, passed through the guards because of a state department representative, I think it was.
Mm.
And, you know, if people can't smell that the federal government was involved in the false flag, I don't know what the hell it takes to wake up people. You know what it would take, Eric? It'll take a month in a submarine.
You know what? You're right.
You know what?
You're probably right. Yeah. You are probably right.
You know, you don't want to wake up? All right, you got a paid free vacation underneath the ocean in a 1 month submarine.
Wow.
A nice hollow tube. You and 13 other guys smelling each other's feet and farts. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Hammer, don't remind me, man. Don't remind me. Shoot, living out the truck for 6 months in the desert. Trust me. Don't remind me.
Do you ever
me.
Get flashbacks of that, Eric? Do you ever think?
Hell,
or
yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I take. You know, I can't. You know, I cannot go to sleep naturally.
Wow, because I know people from Vietnam who have to sleep on the floor.
Yeah, well, I ain't got to sleep on the floor, but I would not sleep on the floor because, you know, back when it first kicked off, man, we slept out in the desert. We ain't have, you know,
mm-hmm.
we drove, and then we drove till we got tired.
Right.
Then we just slept wherever we stopped at.
Right.
Usually in the middle of the desert, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's like, you got to use the bathroom. We designated area to use the bathroom in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, be sitting there squatting next to a female. And we doing the same thing, dropping loads.
Right.
And talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The sandstorm come. You put your cot under your tanker.
Mm-hmm.
Get in your sleeping bag and just cover up.
I got caught in a sandstorm one time. It was a mild
Woo.
One. Man, I had to, you know, what it was just blanketed the whole base, right?
Yeah.
So me and my buddy were out there, and all of a sudden this goddamn sandstorm comes, and we see this car in front of us, and we weren't polite at all. We just opened up the door, we just barged on in, and we didn't get any. The guy didn't object because he was in the, you know, we saw the sandstorm. You couldn't see outside the windows. It was that
wow.
that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that's good, but if you see it from a distance. And it's like a rainbow almost because it's got different colors going
mm-hmm.
on. And you're looking like, damn, is the world coming to an end? You know, but I got to drive through that.
Yeah.
You know, like, whoa, man.
This guy I knew when he came back, see, he was one of the baddest guys in town. And you would never know it because he didn't look like the typical bad guy, right? But in any
uh-huh.
case, he was one of the baddest guys. You know, he loved to fight. And he kicked ass like you never believed. So what happened was he went into the service. He went, he joined the Army. He wasn't in the Air Force. So he goes overseas.
Right.
He got busted a couple of times. Right, but because he was a hard worker
mm-hmm.
and a good worker, he always regained his sergeant stripes back. So he comes back home from the service. He seems like everything's okay, right? But
right.
when he goes to sleep, he has flashbacks, and he almost killed
yeah.
his fucking family. He got up.
Mm.
He had a flashback which lasted, I don't know, maybe a few minutes or so. Good thing he had his brothers
yeah.
there in the house
mm-hmm.
because his brothers had
right.
had to subdue him because he thought everybody was the enemy.
Yeah,
his
yeah,
flashback
yeah.
was that
yeah.
bad, but
yeah.
he eventually got over it. I mean, at least it seemed like he got over it.
And like, I take medication to make sure I don't have it. I don't drink.
Oh wow, you must have been in some real firefights or some real badass shit. Mm.
And I'll tell you, look, people say truck drivers don't do certain things. You know, I'm here to tell you,
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff we did, man.
Well, when you're forced
you know,
to do
I
what
hauled, you know, I hauled tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I put the tank on the back of my truck and took them where they had to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some of them places were not great places to go.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, we did
friendly.
Get in firefights. And, I mean, we did get in firefights and things like
uh-huh.
that. So,
right.
You know. So, yeah. You know, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
my
issue.
Father, he was in World War, well, he didn't go overseas either, but he served during World War II. And
mm-hmm.
he had to take medication because of what the stuff that happened to him on base.
Yeah.
Because it was during World War II, and there were tensions that were, you know, riding high, and they had, you know. So he had to take medication after he got out. Yeah.
You know, actually, Joe, that's one reason why I started my little show,
mm-hmm.
just to give me something to do during the day so I wouldn't have, you know, I would keep my mind busy on other things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'm glad I started my show, man, because I'm loving it now.
Yeah, well, you got it every day, which is cool. See, I had, I never had my own show, but I always co-hosted other people's shows. And one time, Ava, she gave me her show, so she gave me the keys to the car, as it were. So I could always, you know, go in and put on a show. So I put on a show in which I was the host, but actually it wasn't. I didn't own the show. She owned the show, but I could always have access to it. So I would put on shows on politics and on relationships. But as soon as, and you would have 2-hour shows. So I had about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of these shows, and then I just took myself off the air because I bored myself. I said what I had to say. You know, I had some. Stanley was a regular. There was another person who was a regular. But that would be it. Rich came on a couple of times. And so I said what I had to say. I didn't get much controversy because the people that called in mainly agreed with me. And that was it. And I just took myself off the air. But if you can do it for you know, every day, then cool, because you do it for about 2 hours a day. You know, but every topic, or when we have, well, we always have controversy. So it's sort of like new, you know, even though this topic may be the same topic. It's sort of like new, but I.
But it's always it's always a different twist to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to take myself off the air because I said what I had to say. Like I said, the other guys, they said what they had to say. I got down to the nitty gritty, and that was it. I said, okay, I did my thing.
But that's the same though. You have to, you know, keep it fresh. You know, I'm always trying to think of different topics to be talking about. You know.
If I had a show on current events every day, that'd be different. Then I could do it. But I was just interested in one single theme for relationships, why relationships don't work. And then politics was about how America was going downhill. The evidence that we had.
You know, and that's the thing. I've noticed, you know, because I've tried different, you know, topics and things. I noticed, you know, relationship is the one, anytime I'm talking about relationships, that gets the most participation, which is interesting, but I guess everybody want to know how to make relationships better.
Well, I would imagine, I mean, there's only a few, well, they have more than a few relationship shows on BTR, but I don't consider them very good. And, there's a brand new one. The guy that came on your show last night. He's started a brand new show. So I went to his show last night. And, you know, I mainly like to get down to the nitty-gritty instead of going all around, you know. And so that's me. But a lot of people can do it, like, they can talk about the exact same topic time after time after time. I'm different. I'll engage in it, but I prefer to get down to brand
the nitty gritty.
Right to the nitty gritty, and then move on. I have an I've got tapes of women that I've talked to on BTR. I've got sometimes I was lucky I would come across a show that was on the air. I didn't have to call in. I just breezed by it, listened to it for about 30 seconds, and then they were saying something very significant. So then I would use that clip in my show to talk about. What I'm talking about is not just mere speculation on my part, but I have evidence to back it up, coming out of the mouths of other women. You know, so once I did that, I figured, I did it. I'm tired. I'm boring me. I'm getting let me get out.
How would you do that? Take a clip from another show.
Oh, well, you know, you can download the show of any, you can download the clip of any show, you know.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
So you know how to do that? Underneath your, let's say where your picture is, there's going to be download when your show goes off the air. It's not there now. But when your show goes off the air, if you revisit a show that has gone off the air, they'll always have underneath the picture, download this episode.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can just click on it, and when your menu pops up, you say, whatever it said. I can't do it here.
Well, I'll check it out over the weekend, but okay.
Yeah.
That's the fundamentals, right? That's basic.
Right.
Oh,
well, that's how you do it to all the shows. Any show that's not, any show that you have to pay for, some of the shows are free. If you have a free show, they don't have the download capacity because they're not paying for it. But when you're paying $40 a month, they allow you to have the capacity for downloads.
Okay.
So when you go to the show, let's say there was a show 5 minutes ago that ended. You have to wait about a half an hour. Then about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, you can go back to the show. And then just click on the download this episode, which is right underneath the picture. And bingo, you got it.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah.
You know, so you can use clips from your own shows and bring it on your current show and say, hey, here's the discussion we had on Thursday. And you can play the clip. So you have to know how to also splice it. That's the thing. All these, your show is 2 hours, so it'll probably take up something like, I don't know, 24 or 36 megabytes, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you might
only want
like 2 minutes of the show.
Right.
So you have to go search through the show to find where those 2 minutes are if you don't remember where it is, and then you have to splice it. See, I know I have software which will splice out the particular segments of the show that I want to keep.
Yeah, I do too. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah.
And
then
okay.
you can use that for, let's say you want to have a show on politics, and you know that, if you can play music, you can play clips from other shows or other TV shows or YouTube videos. That's have you ever gone to the Perry Steele show?
Uh-uh. Never heard of it.
Perry Steele is on every night. He's on every night, sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays, too, but he's on every night around 11, and he stays on for 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah. He's on from 11, 12, 1. 11 Eastern Standard Time from 11 to 1, but then he always archives his shows later, so he can always stay on for 2 hours even after the show's off.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always on for 4 hours a night, starting either at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Most of the time, it's 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's always about war. He hates war. He ran for Congress. He's a black guy in Tennessee. Tonight's Friday, so he'll probably be drunk if he has a show.
Oh, Lord.
So he's drunk on Friday.
Oh, Lord.
But he likes to go catfishing. But he hasn't been on for the last two or three nights, so something's up with him. But when he comes back on the air, he'll have the show every night. If you always go Perry Steele, P-E-R-Y, Steele, S-T-E-L-E, with an E on the end, and you always download the show. Or any of the shows, actually, if you know how to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, what's your favorite show besides yours on BTR?
It used to be Tony's, but I don't know. I go around now. I haven't found an actual other favorite show besides mine right now. I go around and check out a lot of the different ones.
Yeah, that's what I do too. So if I find one, if you remember the name, you can always type in the name in the search engine. Do you know where the search engine is? Type in the name.
Yes.
You can type it in there. And then let it search for the show, and then you go to the show and you click on the different links there, and you're all set.
You're all set, huh?
Yeah.
All right. You know, Joe, we're gonna have to get you back to your own show.
No,
being bothered with that.
No, I'll bore myself because I'll talk about the one topic that I think is very, very important. I'll have other guests on.
You know what? You know why you wouldn't bore yourself? Because you have so many callers coming in, you wouldn't be able to bore yourself.
Well, if I had the callers coming in, that'd be different. But but once I get down, like for example, if we talked about war, the bottom line for me is corrupt politicians. So once I got to expose the corrupt politicians, there wouldn't be any need to have any other type of ancillary type of topic, because the major topic, the major reason why America is the way that it is because of corrupt politicians. But not too many people actually, you know, attack that particular topic. They usually go on, well, Romney said this, Obama did that, the Congress did this, while Israel did that. And I'm thinking the reason why we have all the bullshit, no matter what the situation is because of a corrupt Congress.
You're right. You know, everybody got their hands out. Everybody getting a kickback from somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's the lobbyists. So, you know, and then I would like to discuss what can we actually do as Americans to try to solve it. Because a lot of people say, go back to the way the Constitution was during, you know, when it was ratified in 1789. And I disagree with that because, you know, the original Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, was not a very good piece of paper.
It really wasn't.
You know, it didn't allow for the freedoms that people think that it supposedly did.
Right.
You know,
right.
It had the Bill of Rights, which were good, but outside of the Bill of Rights, the rest of the Constitution gave Congress power of eminent domain. They could take over property at any time.
Yep.
It gave power to the government to tax. So it taxes, it's taxing us out of our fucking shorts.
You know what? Speaking of taxes, I read somewhere, and I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find it. Because I read somewhere that a couple of people have found loopholes in the law that actually says you really do not have to pay taxes. So I heard that a couple of people have actually sued the government behind that.
They have, and a few of them have gone to jail because they've tried not to pay the taxes, but the IRS always wins.
So they always win.
Yep,
you know,
always
win. I'm going to do some research and find that, though.
But yeah, but if you know what, too, if you're going to do that, I'm surprised at how many celebrities and politicians actually appear on these blog talk shows. You can actually get somebody. For example, if you want to talk about taxation, you might have to do your homework and do a little legwork, you know, and try to get a hold of their offices and their secretaries and everything. But you can get these people to come on your show.
Yeah, that's what I'm working toward now. You know, I already got you and Mr. Solution and Stanley guest hosting, so.
Yeah, just about. But we're not celebrities. We're just guest callers.
Look, y'all blog talk. Oh, I mean, celebrities.
Yeah, well, that's true, because a lot of people know us.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, no, not Joe. Oh, shit. Nah. Yeah.
Well, look, let's be honest. They accept you more than they accept Mr. Solution.
Well, Mr. Solution. Well, I happen to agree with about 95% of what Rich says.
I mean, you know, like I tell people, he has a lot of great points. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all stop, you know, listening to his tone and actually listen to what he's saying, you know, he makes a lot of great points.
But I have to say this for Rich. He's not as obnoxious as I am, because Rich usually doesn't come back at people until they really open up their mouths to him.
Uh-huh.
I've never really heard him initiate any type of insult or any type of disparaging remarks against people. Except maybe the last couple of shows, he was talking. Well, that's because he knew Shasta, and But that, other than that, usually when he goes on his rants and everything, people usually attack him, and then he responds, and I can't blame him for that. But with me,
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm just glad both of you are on the show. I mean, I really appreciate it because I learned something from both of you. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, we have our points of view. Sure. And
yeah.
Stanley,
well,
too.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, somebody else on the line. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, good evening. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hey,
we doing
fine.
Devil. I know, right?
I just thought I'd drop in on your fun Friday here. I just finished checking out. I had my bike in for repair, and I think I need to get another one just like it. I broke my crank.
And how you break your crank?
And how you going to fuck after that?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, how you going to fuck after that?
Well, I say that with a little bit of trepidation, but nevertheless. No, I'm about a 30-mile-a-day type person. I really enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have my bike customized, and it just seems I've gotten so strong. The system that I have, and I wasn't plowing down on it, I was just going across an intersection, and I heard this pop, and damn, you know, I pulled over and checked it out, and sure enough, that crank was toast. So, at any rate, I had the guy install another one for me, and I'm going to buy another bike entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you guys to, you know, get into biking. It's better than golf, actually, because, now, obviously, I keep my clubs in my trunk, which wastes gas, by the way, but who cares?
Okay.
The
you know what, when
is,
I was
though,
learning how to
you
ride
know,
a bike.
I like to swing a few, but Biking, you can do it anywhere, all the time. You can put a rack on your car. I don't have a rack on my car, but you can throw it on the bus. You can. The bus has a rack.
Right.
And go to where you want to go and then get off the ride. But it's so much fun, though. I call it land flying, virtually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you might think about that.
Where are
and
you
it's
living?
The best
San
form
Francisco
of exercise.
To do
I
this
said,
land flying?
He's in L.A.
Oh, you're in L.A. Because in Frisco, they have the hills. I can understand land flying if you're, all of a sudden you just let yourself go down the hill.
That's as long as you're going down the hill.
Yeah.
Well, no. Actually, now I'm going to get, I had to put me a new cassette in. So I'm going to 14 gears where I had 10. I'm getting a granny gear. So
all right.
I should be able to take about a 50% grade. I know right. where a 74% grade is. But
uh-huh.
the hills would be no problem, Joe, with the granny gear in there, what they call
it.
Oh, it
wouldn't
be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
you
know
be.
What? I've got a bike I've had for over 20 years, a Schwinn. And I haven't
yeah,
ridden
not a Schwinn.
It. A Schwinn.
Wow.
And I haven't ridden it in a long time. And do you know, I don't know how to ride a bike that well, but I can ride a motorcycle.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but right. And there are some similarities, but... The thing about the bike is it's the what do they call it? It's the most efficient biomechanical form of human powered transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Biking is actually better than walking. In
mm-hmm.
fact, there
yeah.
are some people
yeah.
with joint problems who can't walk.
Oh, I agree.
But they
yeah.
can bike.
I
so
don't
biking
know.
Is bar none.
I would imagine, yeah. I just never could imagine remember the walking phase, and still today where people say, you know what, walking is good for your cardio. I can't see it as good as riding a bike.
No, it's not. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's the biking is the best form of biomechanical. Transportation, human powered. In fact, the bike was invented. I did just a little bit of research. It was invented to replace the horse.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the bike and you know the. Inventor of the airplane, Oliver and Wilbur, were bicycle mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's phenomenal.
Rich.
There's no doubt about that. It's.
Rich.
I love it, personally. I enjoy it. And there are few hills that, once I get this granny gear, I'll be able to take any hill. I may have to inch up, go inch by inch.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
so what?
Yeah, but you'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Rich,
yeah.
remember my my show on relationships?
Ava?
With Ava, yeah. Ava gave me the free reins, and then Stanley and you were show Benalla, Salah Houdin and stuff.
Right.
Did you like the part, I was telling Eric that I bored myself, and then after about six or seven shows, combined with politics, I think it was about five shows in relationships and maybe about three shows on politics, I bored myself and I took myself off the air. So I remember having you as co-host for 45 minutes and then giving the responsibilities to Stanley and then Salah Houdin when I had the two-hour show and everything.
And
what
the
did
lawyer,
you think?
Yeah, the female lawyer once upon a time, I think she called herself something daddy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But what did you think about that particular format where a person could have 45 minutes owning a show, in essence, owning the show for 45 minutes?
No, I thought that was fine. I thought it was good. I think I participated once or twice.
Yeah.
I applauded Eric recently. Well, I do it quite often because he stays on this topic, and we actually need to do it. Eric,
how the hell
do we
stay on a topic?
Huh?
How the hell do we stay on a topic when we're on Eric's show? We go all over the place.
Well, no, but we're on this. We're going in the same direction. We may take a. Go ahead, Eric.
See, that's what makes Eric's show more interesting than
yeah.
mine, because it'll never run out of
yeah,
spark.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
It's good. See, a lot of people, they could talk about context, but they don't understand context. There's a lot of contributaries or contributors to the huge problem we're talking about. For example, I was just talking to a guy. This guy is real successful. I meet him from time to time. He's very successful, into real estate, you know, this, that, and the other. And he told me his girlfriend or his lady friend of 19 years, he allowed her to move into this nice home he just bought. And I said, and, you know, I went over a few of the issues with him, and he says, oh, yeah. She says, but she still has her home. And I say, you know, God forbid you guys get into an argument. I said, first of all, does she press you about getting married? He says, oh, yeah, sure. He says, but I just tell her, hey, we're getting along great, aren't we? Let's just keep it that way.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
And it's like she goes, yeah, we are. And I said, well, God forbid you guys have an argument or whatever, you get into a fight. I said, if she calls the police or whatever just on a whim, I said, they could. He said, yeah, they could put me out of my house. He says, but guess what? She keeps her address. And if anything like that should occur, she can go home. So he is aware of it. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I thought I heard something. But, you know, that's what guys, and I was just kind of, you know, informing him how he has to protect himself. And he's protecting himself. He lets her keep her domicile. And so, like he said, if anything should happen, she can go home. And I said, okay, yeah, you seem to be up to date on it. So he's pretty cool.
Yeah, but see, that part that you've introduced before on other shows about how the law does influence the kind of decisions that we make, and women don't realize that, I agree with you 100%. I've talked about that myself. As a matter of fact, either last year or a few years ago, there was a judge, and I don't know if he came down with a final ruling or not, but he was supposed to come down with a ruling about what would happen, not if two people were going to cohabitate, but what if they were just dating for 3 months and the guy left her. He was seriously considering coming down with a ruling on emotional distress so that the woman would get paid for being so emotionally upset.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I think have some garbage like that in Chicago, and you may have mentioned it. I believe it is like that. But, Joe, something I was going to mention to you guys the other day, what you guys said, you and Stanley concurred on it.
Mm-hmm.
You failed to develop it. And I think that really needs to be developed. And what it is you, when Shasta mentioned a woman being out of your league or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah, you and Stanley came back with an excellent retort, but you didn't unpack it so that the audience could really understand it. Why is no woman out of a man's league? Do you mind him unpacking that, Eric?
No, I have no problem with that. No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay, as long as Eric's girlfriend isn't here, that's no problem.
And see, Eric just got a girlfriend. I know this has occurred within the last, 3 months, Eric?
Yeah.
He snuck a fastball in on us. But good, congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, first Eric says that going out with Shasta was a date. Yeah. Okay, and I said it wasn't a date. First he says it was a date.
Shasta, she good people, but no, me and Shasta would never go out on a date.
All right. Okay. Now I got that. Okay, I got that straight now.
Okay.
Until
yeah.
Until next show. Yeah, we went on a date. But here's the thing. Here's the reason why no woman, as far as I'm concerned, is out of my league, unless she's taller than me, stronger than me, smarter than me, kinder than me, and even then, if she had all those qualities, she would want me, because if she has those qualities, and I have those qualities, and if I can choose a woman who is shorter than me, not as intelligent as I am, not as kind as I am, and you know women can't handle emotional pressure, and yet we go for them, then therefore, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't a woman who's out of our league, except in their mind. In their mind, we're out of their league because it's all about the material thing. And I don't have any problem with a woman who wants a nice-looking, tall, athletic, rich guy. That's not what men like me, and I'm hoping other men who, you know, we're supposed to have some sort of something in common with, feel. I feel if you can go for the gusto, go for the gusto. I just don't like it when a woman is, let's say, an Angelina Jolie, because that's the example I used before. If she is an up-and-coming starlet, then we're at her particular level in life, material level. She's a starlet. She'll go out with a budding actor or maybe a junior director. Now that she's a star, the same people she liked on the way up are now out of her league. That's only an emotional perception. But a woman who is still shorter than I am can't take the emotional pressures that I can. How many women can actually stand being in a tube in a submarine for a month, right? Okay? She's not as kind as I am, because most men are kinder towards women than women are towards men. We always marry down and date down. They always marry up. So therefore, in my opinion, there's no fucking chick that's out of my league.
Right. And more men should say that, but just to add, you know, right. But to add to that, I would say, because society gives dissimilar standards that men must meet opposed to those that women must meet. And I always talk about how the law structures our lives. That's all of us live under legal jurisdictions. And so when women don't have to register for the Selective Service, that's a big deal. When women can go to college, get grants and loans, now this is under the rubric of a gender neutral or certainly a non-gender discriminatory society. I was just reading what the Human Rights Commission in their decision out of New York pointed out, that we are in an era now where it's mandated that men and women be treated equally, and that is under the law.
Mm-hmm.
But then women are able to waltz in and you know, get these jobs without having to undergo the same social pressure that men do. That is grossly unfair, and it gives women a false moral high ground. It gives them a false superiority. And, of course, men fail to point that out. And the same thing is with reproduction. If you would negate those two areas, the Selective Service, have women to, you know, have the same responsibility, which it is coming to that, by the way. They're backdooring it by the women themselves, along with the ACLU, are filing lawsuits so that women can serve in combat because they're presenting it as a employment discrimination. Eric, you may be familiar with that, but they filed two lawsuits this year in district court on the same issues, and I think you are familiar with that. But the reproduction also is problematic. So if those two areas were taken away, you would see women straighten the F up. You would see women, they would become more humble, because the way things are right now, the law subsidizes women. The powerful law that takes all of our benefits, men and women's benefits, and it gives them, well, it takes men's benefits, let's put it that way, and it subsidizes women with men's resources. And a lot of women are ignorant of that. That's the reason when you hear women talking a lot of times, they don't make sense. They're just babbling. And, of course, I appreciate what Pianki did, but Pianki, even though he showed who he really is by going to Africa, and if you guys recall, I know the line was kind of bad, but he said he went there to find him a woman. But remember, Pianki was the same one who had said there were quality women. Do you remember that, Eric? He named some of them, talked about women in the political circles and women he had met in Washington. You remember that bullshit?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
I remember,
but then, see, this is where I have to ream men's asses. When they talk about these quality women, and under the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, that would be false advertising. They don't use the product that they are promoting. So he went to Africa. He didn't choose any of those knuckleheads. And obviously the context is women who are good for relationships. And so, yeah, but I applaud him in what he did, but I think the only drawback there is, and you guys can correct me if I'm off base on this, according to the Immigration and Naturalization Service, if you bring a woman in this country who is she doesn't have a visa and she's not from a U.S. territory, you have to be financially responsible for that woman.
Yeah.
And should she cry domestic violence, they will give her asylum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have to be financially responsible. I heard Tom Likas talking about that. You have to be responsible for her. So it's best to go to U.S. territories such as the Virgin Islands, Samoa, where else? Guam, Puerto Rico, and, of course, Hawaii, which, even though it's one of the states, it's not contiguous, and it has a little bit of a different culture. So,
men who
want to do it, they may even set up a business to where they set up an introduction service.
Before
and I don't know if Pianchi is a little bit, I don't know, he operates in his own circle.
Here's the thing. The guy that came on Eric's show the other day, he started...
Oh, yeah, the guy from the other show?
Yeah, he started his
show.
I've been on it twice. And it's not in competition with Eric. It comes on... the next show will be, I'm looking at it now, it's called Love, Sex, and Lies. And it comes on at 11:30 p.m. Monday.
Why don't you post the link, Eric?
What, to his show?
Yeah, I mean, he's not competing with you, so
yeah,
guys who
I
are conscious...
Well, he doesn't have... Eric doesn't have the link. I'm just saying it now.
Yeah, but I can get it. That's no issue.
And
I can do that.
Because I was the only one on the show the past two shows, and it'd be good if you were there, if Stan knows about it, if Eric can show up, if other people can show up, because they, too, listened to me. They didn't even quite agree with me, but that's okay. Nobody does. So I just wanted to say that before I forgot. Okay, Rich, now that I... It's Love, Sex, and Lies. It'll be on Monday...
Monday, okay.
At 11:30 p.m.
Love, Sex, and Lies?
Right, Love, Sex, and Lies.
You know, I'm trying to, while you're playing, I'm trying to talk Shasta to get, doing her little spin-off show.
I hope Shasta didn't feel beaten down, but, Shasta is good. But I would like to hear her talk about how lesbians negotiate or navigate the paying issue. I know she said it's reciprocal as far as them asking each other out, because she said she had no problem asking another woman out, and presumably women ask her out too. But she seems she does this as a side issue from what I heard.
I don't think so. You know why?
Yeah.
No.
Well, Shasta said she wanted to be in a relationship with a man. I'm not really focusing on that. What I did want to bring out is the caveat.
She said that the guy that she has a relationship with has to be in tune with her desire to have a woman also. And what she meant was a menage a trois.
She gave confusing signals because she talked about being monogamous. But go ahead, Eric.
As Mr. Solution said, she wants a relationship with a man, and
that's what she said. She said that very clearly. That was the statement. But what I would like to know
like
is
on the side.
How do lesbians, and if you guys know, because you've spoken to her more than I have, how do lesbians navigate the paying issue? Is it who asks? I mean, how do they do that?
I'm gonna have to ask her because they have the dom and the feminine film.
And find out also for me, Eric.
The dom is like the man of the relationship, and the film is like the female. I have to ask about all that.
Can you clarify the other thing for me? Because she did say that she wanted a relationship with a man, but that man has to be agreeable to her having a woman at the same time.
What she was saying is it depends. If she's in a relationship with a man and the issue and the topic is brought up, depending on how she feel about the guy that she's in a relationship, she wouldn't, she would consider it. You know, not saying that she would actually go through with it, but she would, you know, they would have to talk about it.
Right. Well, let me tell you the problem. Now, I heard what Joe said, and I didn't really concur with that about dating a bisexual woman. Now, I see heterosexuality is normal, then bisexuality, by definition, is homosexual. But nevertheless, let's just, there are pressures and torquings that go on with people who are just strictly heterosexual. There are temptations, you could say. Now, if you get a person who's quote-unquote bisexual, you know, that presents a double-barreled problem that probably cannot be transcended, because how do you compete with a woman who's dealing with another woman? I mean, there's no way to compete with that. You follow me, Eric?
Not if you're completely homosexual, if you're completely a lesbian, but if you're ostensibly a bisexual person who swings both ways, then what has to happen is that that particular person, just like a heterosexual person, has to agree to keep themselves out of the jaws of temptation.
But it's harder, Joe, because
I agree. But
you have it coming at you from both.
But that's what a relationship is all about.
You know
what trust is supposed to be built up on.
You know that you know. Well, first the thing, I'm kind of agreeing with Mr. Solution on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know about, you know, it's kind of hard to, and I heard a lot of bisexual people say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to, you know, what
I think
this
saying,
it's hard to
think they're using that as an excuse
against that kind of
not
stuff
to be in a relationship. We're all tempted, all of us. You get somebody tomorrow, Eric, or Rich, or myself, and then let's say 3 months from now, we finally decide that this person is the one for us.
Uh-huh.
We still have to contend with her particular drive towards a good-looking guy. She has
Joe, absolutely no, because I'm never tempted by another man. A man doesn't tempt me.
No, but you're tempted by
A woman, but not a man.
Yeah, but the thing is, temptation is temptation. You have to make sure.
Well, not really.
No, but you got to look at the magnitude of the temptation.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
Scenario.
Temptation is temptation. And all I'm saying is, I'm not even saying it can't be circumvented. I'm just saying, if I were advising someone along those lines, say, for example, they had an option between a quote, I don't mean to laugh, but damn. If they had an option between a bisexual woman, a man had an option between a bisexual woman and a strictly heterosexual woman, they were of equal...
All other things being equal, I would take the straight chick, yeah.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. That's my point.
Yeah. You know, but here's the thing. You know, a lot of bisexuals, you know, just for me, you know, I know quite a few, you know, during my time. Anyway, you know, a lot of them do feel that once they are in a relationship, that's who they are. You know, as far as the temptation, if it's there, it's very minimal, you know, because they're with whoever they're with at that time. Now, once it's over, you know, then they may start dipping. Because a lot of them, whatever they're into, it's like a side thing. You know, every now and then, I guess you can say they have to have a taste. But if they're in a relationship, then that taste is not as prevalent as it would be if they weren't in a relationship.
But I think that taste erodes their ability to maintain stability in a relationship.
Depends upon the integrity of the person. I would rather have a bisexual who has proven herself to be of high moral character, not taking the moral high ground, but of high moral character, than somebody who's straight that has a reputation of being kind of shady. So I would rather go with the one that has integrity, and she put herself out of temptation's way, than go with a girl who doesn't like women at all, but would go and cheat on me with another guy simply because she's fucked up in the head.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
See that. But you also have to think about, you know, you have to look at the partner that they with too. You know, anytime she goes out by herself or with he or she goes out by themselves, you know, is automatically that thought gonna go in the head where they out there with somebody else. You know, so it's a whole lot of
what,
stuff.
I agree.
Huh?
That goes back to what Rich is saying. He makes a good point. I mean, you're all going to be faced with a double whammy. The thing is that there's going to be twice as many temptations. That's where integrity comes in.
Well, that takes a hell of a... But look here, you guys, that lady brought up a very salient point. Now, I almost hung up when they started talking about the risque, but I went ahead and listened. But she did make a very, very important point, and I think it was the guy Chef Rob made it's kind of a funny comment that he says, female booty is not like male booty.
Oh,
or
okay.
Something like that.
Oh, I must not have been around for that. I don't remember that.
Attracted to
male
booty as he would female, something along that line.
Right.
I think the woman, though, made a very good point when she brought up that if a woman gives fellatio to a man, does that man also want fellatio from another man? Because, you know, both of it is mouth. I think that's the way she framed it.
Huh?
But it,
basically.
Wait a minute,
because
let me get
but what she was saying though is I think she was establishing the exclusivity of heterosexual sex. That's what she was really doing, because remember they had started talking about having rectal sex. And they said it was the same having it with a woman as with a man. So she introduced the notion of a woman giving a man fellatio, would he also want fellatio from another man? And they went, no. And so...
Why would she think that?
I'm sorry, what?
Why would she think that?
No, well, that's why she was countering the argument that...
Oh, okay, about getting it in the ass. All right.
Anymore. But I think she brought up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to establish the exclusivity of heterosexual.
Hey, while I got you on the line, Rich, let me try to, if I remember properly, what it was that Shasta and I had in terms of misgivings about that other broad that you found attractive.
Look, man, I'm glad Mr. Solution was nice to that lady, because y'all wanted to eat her. You know,
what ANAV did. She said... You guys tore her a new ass the other day. Then she said, but she changed her whole speech pattern. But I think that's good. That's progress.
No, it isn't. What she was
doing
was
that's like I told,
up the fact
I,
that she
I
got
told,
caught.
Look, I told Joe, I said, man, that's like y'all smell fresh meat or something. Y'all just went to attack
for me. Well, next time you talk to Shasta, ask her about her recollections of what happened. You know, this chick was on the line.
Look, me and Shasta talked about it right after the show.
Oh, okay. And she was, I'm sure she told you what I'm about to say. First, the broad comes on. She was trying to rip me apart for my particular views, right? then she hangs up. Then she
goes
back in, being, you know, a little bit nicer, a little bit calmer. And then we started talking about, well, the difference between men and women in terms of why we want men and women. And so, of course, we got it down to women love status. That's my thing. Women love status, your dick. But the thing is, we love men. We love women for themselves. So I gave her the situation. Well, in other words, could you be with a guy? First off, she says that, you know, she's not really into the money thing like other women are. You know, she doesn't care about a man's wealth. So I said, so in other words, if a man you knew, you met, didn't have a dime, was living off unemployment insurance, I think this is what I said, I'm living off unemployment insurance for 2 years, that wouldn't bother you. She says, no, that wouldn't bother me. I said, what if this guy didn't have a car? Oh, no, he's got to have a car. Because I'm not driving around some, you know, she practically intimated, some deadbeat and everything like this. And that's when Shasta said, wait a minute, you're wrong. If the guy is on unemployment and you like him for himself, why should he have a car? He can't afford a car. And I'm saying the same thing. And then this chick starts saying, no, he's got to at least have a car. And she brought up a good point where she said, in some places in the country, you've got to have a car to drive around. Because I said in New York, L.A., Frisco, Detroit, and other major cities, men don't need a car. They can go by the bus. They can go by the train. And she's saying, oh, no, I can't take the bus or the train. I can't drive somebody around. So then I said, then you contradicted yourself. And she says, no. I said, Look, you said wealth didn't matter to you. If you met a guy, you're saying that if for the past 2 years you could be with who was on unemployment insurance, but when you meet him, he doesn't have a car, and you can continue with the relationship because you don't want to drive him around, that's a contradiction. And then she goes, no, it isn't. And then Shasta comes in, and when Shasta comes in and starts saying the same thing I was saying, this girl went from Sheila skyrocket from flailing all over the place to a very soft, demure little girl. And that's what you were listening to, Rich, when she came on the show the other day.
So you're saying the fact that Shasta agreed or disagreed with her and agreed with you,
right?
She acquiesced to that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then,
but the lady, but she did. She had said that it didn't come out the way she meant it, the way it sounded.
Of course, she said it later, like you were sticking up for her the other day, Eric.
I'm still gonna stick up for that lady because I understand what she was saying.
Let me correct you on this, Joe. You do need a vehicle in L.A. You may not need one in San Francisco, because San Francisco has BART. They have a much better transit system. But L.A., remember back in the 60s, they had what was called the Red Line, and the car companies, and along with the tire companies, got rid of that because they wanted to promote the individual personal vehicle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in L.A., there are a lot of places that the bus doesn't go or it stops going there at a certain time. So San Francisco would be much more consistent with what you're saying, and I certainly understand New York, and there are some other, maybe Chicago,
where you wouldn't need
a car. In fact, it would be a burden to have a car because you don't have any place to park it.
Right, and I brought that up. I said the insurance, the parking, the fees. But the major point I was making was that if you're going to be with a guy, if you say you're going to be with a guy for 2 years who's on unemployment insurance, he can't afford anything, you don't care about his wealth or his assets, which were the terms I was using,
right,
then how can all of a sudden you expect a guy who doesn't have anything to have a car when you know he can't have a car, he can't afford a car?
Then she brought
up the point, in some places you have to have a car. So, yes, you know, in those places you actually have to have a truck, okay? People like Camaros and stuff like that, okay? That's in the country. But in other places, even if you need a car to get around, if you're saying, just like we've said as men for years, we don't care what you are. We want to marry you. You don't have to have a dime in your checking account. We want to marry you, give you our name, give you our sons. That's just like you're going to give us your sons, our sons together. Just like I want to put a roof over your head because you don't have anything. Now, if you're saying you're strong and independent and you've said you don't care about the guys that you're dating, what they are, because the wealth and the assets don't mean anything to you, then how come all of a sudden he's got to have a car?
Well, you know what? Heartbeat was talking about a very similar subject. And that is, and I listened to her because I think she expresses the vast majority
of assholes,
of what men don't want in a woman, hence Pianchi. And I just wish Pianchi, and maybe he will when he comes back, if he still participates in these shows at all, to tell the fucking truth. Because a lot of guys, he has rejected American women and particularly American black women. Now, my position is if I wouldn't mind dating in fact, I kind of have my eye open for a Hispanic or an Asian woman.
You don't want a fucking Hispanic. Asian, yeah. You don't want Hispanics. I think an upper, why do you say that? I mean, if you like upper middle class, people with degrees and everything.
I think anybody, let me just make this point, if they have something accomplished, and Joe, I'm going to disagree with you about the point you made earlier. Yes, at one time that was true. We would accept, whereas women use what's known as hypergamy. They quote-unquote marry up, as it were, marry to a higher level because they can parlay their feminine wiles, features, as it were, and get a man. And then men aren't that as sensitive to a woman's class status. A man, if a woman, this is the reason I think it's proof, that women are worse than men. Because men, if a woman keeps herself looking pretty decently and she's nice and shows herself available and doesn't have a problem connecting with her, wife and girlfriending her up, wifing her up.
Mm.
But the same is not true of women. But I would say men of means.
Oh, we've got the bad echo.
Men of means today should not be with women beneath them, because that could be, especially if you get married to them, and you certainly shouldn't get married without a prenup. You should have your personal prenup, because the courts will destroy you if you don't. And a lot of men, the reason there are so many men aren't getting married, and I heard Smitty and them talking about it. Now, I'm over 40, but Smitty and them are under 40. And they're saying there's no way they want to get married, because one reason is what the court does to men. I mean, they see what it did to Hulk Hogan. And, of course, if a man just makes, say he makes a good living, he makes a really good living, but he's not a multi-millionaire. If his ass goes to court, and we like to say take half of what he gets, no, it's more than half, because usually you're going to be paying her attorney fees. And it's going to be more than half. It's going to be more like two-thirds or more. So it's more than half. So that can destroy a man. And after a certain point, a man can't recover that. He can't recover from that kind of loss.
Well, some do. Some. But where you live in California, it's no-fault state. Or is it?
Right, no-fault divorce, yeah.
No-fault divorce. So it automatically goes to 50% goes to her.
But it's more than 50%, Joe,
yeah,
is what I'm telling you, because you also have your legal fees, and the judge can assign her legal fees to the man, plus alimony. I mean, alimony is still a reality. Now, I know a lot of men's groups are fighting that, as well they should, because there shouldn't be any alimony these days. But what I'm saying is, the upshot of what I'm saying is, a man of means needs to be very careful about getting involved with even letting a woman live with him, because if now some women are devious enough to do that. If they show they've paid a bill and they live in your house, they can hit you up for a portion of your equity.
Hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Wow.
No, because they say they'll say that you
co-mingled.
They were
with you for 4 months. I didn't know if they could do just that, if they help pay a bill or something like that. But okay.
If they get any mail at your house, they can say, they can make the argument. Now, what a man will end up doing oftentimes is to force a settlement, is what it's to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what a man will have to do oftentimes is pay what you call just pay them to go away.
Mm-hmm.
She can get money out. Her and her attorney can get money out of you. This has happened to some men. That's all I'm cautioning.
Which also makes me wonder about Trump. He's got to be the biggest idiot on the planet. He's married 3 times. He's a billionaire. And the prenup didn't even work. So if he can't get a good prenup, I would just advise men not to get married at all. And like your friend Rich, just keep separate houses. Make sure she stays over there. You stay over there. You have space away from each other. You have reasons to keep away from each other without having to, you know, make excuses. And just keep it that way, because I am not for marriage.
Oh, as long as now he laid this out to me. He and I hadn't saw each other in a long time, and we met at this very upscale bakery, very nice bakery. But yeah, he said he makes sure that she maintains a separate domicile. So he is he's definitely on top of that. Because if anything were to happen, I hope it doesn't, and it may not, but were it to happen, he could say this is not her address, which it's not. And, of course, you know, that answers that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, because the women that, I'm sure even when I'm not on a show with Richard Stanley, I'm sure the women will always defend the women and say, you know, as a matter of fact, last night the girl was telling me, well, you must have been burned. I said, it doesn't matter if I was burned or not. You have to take a look at what I'm saying, not the messenger, the message. Does the message make sense? And we went on from there. Women don't want to acknowledge that their particular selfishness is actually selfishness, because they have the entitlement syndrome, and they think, well, what I feel is legitimate, no matter what I feel.
And one of the things about men, right, one of the things about men and women, now oftentimes they will say, it could be said about me, well, it's not what he said, it's the way he said it.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I'm just going to tell you, that's the height of stupidity, because one argues that way. And obviously I'm not saying anything that's so acrimonious or that's so, you know, over the top that a reasonable person couldn't grasp it. The fact of the matter is, they don't want to hear that, regardless as to how it's said.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just don't want to hear it. And they use that as a backdoor excuse. It's a very weak-ass excuse.
Mm.
That's the excuse they use. So they don't want to hear that. But again, our society has set women up to be this narcissistic, entitlement-driven creature that is totally bankrupt when it comes to a relationship. Now, just like with Shasta, when I mentioned attitude, character, personality, and weight, she didn't deal with any of those first three. She went to the last one, and I think you asked her a good question. Well, the fat girls aren't having good relationships either. And, of course, she was not able to answer that. You said, well, what's wrong there? If, you know, they're fat, but they can't keep a good relationship. And, of course, she couldn't answer that. But the fact of the matter is, a man of means does not want a fat woman. I don't think you can name me any man of any prominence, you know, that's self-possessed and autonomous, that will choose a fat woman. Number one, it's not healthy. Number two, it's not sightly. And weight is something that a woman can control. It's not a damn disability. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're just talking about working the fat off your ass.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah,
so why are we acting as if weight is some kind of congenital disease or some sort of illness. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
100%. So I think men should keep saying, I don't want a fat woman. I'm not fat, and I never plan. Now, I could be fat. You think, hey, let me tell you, sometimes I ride by the donut shack, as it were, and I see those delicious donuts that I love. But I keep right on trucking. Now, occasionally I stop. I'll get one once or twice a month, you know, but I limit it. I don't just, you know, break my arm feeding my damn face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what we've got to encourage women. Most women are attractive enough, just like men. Most men are attractive enough. But women go to this weight thing, they like nurture that and act as if, well, you know, so what if I eat all these bun buns and sit on my ass and don't work out? Men are still supposed to love me.
Mm-hmm.
Hell no. Get your ass out there and put some sweat equity in.
As a matter of fact, when I go out to clubs, and because I'm over 40, and there will be women over there, and I'm looking at them, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? One thing that I've eventually noticed over the past couple of years was that the women will do nothing to try to reduce their weight, but they'll spend $100 just before they go to the dance on their freaking hair to make sure their roots don't show. And I'm saying to myself, are you out of your fucking mind? Are you going to tell me that those wrinkles on your face don't betray your age? Huh? They'll do that to cover up, you know, the snow on the roof, but they won't lose weight. And again, like you're saying, Rich, well, no, you got to love me as I am. Get the fuck out of here. Love you as you are.
Right, and one of the things that I was on a show this morning, I straightened out with a guy. Oftentimes we use this term spirituality to refer to something mystical. And I like to demystify it. I just say spirit is true. You can't have spirit without truth. And so when you're telling a person the truth, you are caring enough to love them. You're caring enough to have discovered the truth, first of all, which most people don't. Most people are lazy. You need words to really understand reality. You know, we talk about communicating. What do you communicate with? Grunts and clicks? You've got to have the words that describe the reality and present the reality that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you need to do. And I look words up every now and then. It's still a healthy thing.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I read, too. I tell people, read books. If you read books, people, you know, they're using words to, you know, put on the pages of that book. So, I mean, there's no way of getting around that.
None whatsoever. I agree with you 100%. I say it all the time. You know, pick up something and read it, without a doubt. Joe, what are you doing?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't know if you've read The Myth of Male Power yet, but that would be a fantastic book for women like Shasta to read.
Mm-hmm.
And notice how we back Shasta in a corner, not just to do it, but with her own truth. We said, okay, present some of these women that you believe or you know that exist. And she could not uphold her own argument.
Well, she's going to try to find them, but we'll see.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What?
She said she was going to try to find them. That's, you know, the project, like Eric's project.
Even so, if she has to find them and she's a woman, that shows you right there, given the gist that we were speaking of or the thrust and context that we were speaking of, it's more difficult for us. And even out of the scripture that she read, it pointed out that it's difficult to find a virtuous woman.
Oh.
So I think tossing that ball back into her court was quite adequate and quite appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, you find the women, you know.
Yeah, but she resisted that with, you know, tooth and nail she fought. But we'll see. Isn't she supposed to present or get some women to come on the show?
Yeah, that's what she said.
We'll see.
Okay, we'll see.
Well, now, you guys tell me this. I think, now I hear her name being pronounced different ways. Was it Shelia or Sheila or Leah? What was
Leah.
Her name?
It was Leah.
Okay, Leah. Leah
mm-hmm.
did, now Leah gave a very good point of view, very intelligent point. Her family is in, I believe she said, Alabama.
Right.
She works there. She has a job. She's 44, but all of her kids are grown. And I often say, I know Miss Anan, or I forget her name, Anan, was signifying in the chat room. She was being a chat rat. But
yeah,
it is important
player.
If a woman has kids. Now, for example, if a woman says, my kids come first, if a woman says that, I have no problem with a woman saying her kids come first. But that lets the man know he's not. And what man wants to be in a relationship where he's not first? What's the purpose of that relationship for him?
To be
you
a very
see?
Close second, if it's like 99%, 100%, let's say 99.9% for the kids, and if he's got 99.5%. The thing is that the kids will always present a problem. Number one, will that man be able to discipline the kids the way that they should be disciplined by him? So the other problem is, if he can't put his hands on, let's say, growing kids. Now, the Leah, she's 44. She has grown kids. Theoretically, there should be no problem.
Right.
Right.
So let's say they got kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. They need a development. They need to be developed under the aegis of a very well-intentioned father or father figure. Now, if this guy's going to be the stepfather, how is he supposed to discipline those kids? He and that wife or that new woman in his relationship, they have to come to a very rational agreement.
Yes,
how do you
yes.
do it?
Yeah,
because those
that.
Kids are going to get out of line. And then, don't forget, the natural father, no natural father wants the stepfather to put his hands on those kids.
Well, if he's in the picture, and I heard Likas talking about this. Now, this is a concern that regardless as to what a woman says, she is going to want the man that she's dating to commit a financial outlay for her kids. Now, a couple of things I say. I'm not against a woman with one child, one, O-N-E, uno, and preferably she should have been married, not a voluntary single mother. I think a woman who took the time to be married in the best interest of the child is a far better pick than a woman who just popped out a Xerox copy of herself.
I happen to agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, the problem is what has happened in America, men have been neutered. They've been deballed. So we can't even talk about appropriate and inappropriate behavior, particularly when it comes to a woman. Now, I just said that, and you guys, I guess, virtually intuitively, acknowledged it. But if you were to say that in some circles, you could meet with a lot of hostility.
I haven't yet. I've talked about it before, and the men that I've talked to about it, they either, you know, said nothing, or they said, well, you know, I understand your point. But, yeah, men have been, as you say, Rich, pussified. I call them gelded, which is, you know, it's the yes-dear syndrome. I'm talking about in the white race. If you are middle class, upper middle class, the white husband is nothing more than an appendage to the white wife. That's all it is. That's
hey,
all it
I
is.
Was on the Tony Breedlove show the other night. Now, Tony and I got into it off the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually Tony and I are okay, but we kind of went at it a little bit because, number one, okay, they have a number up there asking people to call in. So my number didn't show up. And Tony, you know, she, like, screens her calls. And I said, you know, just take an effing call and be done with it. If the person is crazy, just hang
no,
up
I agree.
On them.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
right.
That wasn't the issue. That was sort of a side. The real issue was, I said, and I find this particularly true on black shows, they play the damn music, and didn't somebody get shot, not to make fun of them, but didn't mm-hmm. someone get shot for playing bad, loud music at any rate?
Yeah, that was a couple of days ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Play this music, and it's and then they complain about not having enough time to discuss the issue. So I just said to Tony, I said, dispense with the music if the topic is as important as you say it is. And she goes, this is my show. I said, but that's not an adequate answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, you don't need to play music. Look, I've been in a lot of seminars. I've conducted seminars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they've never played music. I've been in college courses, unless it was a music course, sometimes upward of 2.5-3 hours, and they never took a break to play music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand this thing of playing music, for a considerable length of time and then complaining about, well, we don't have enough time, you know, we've got to rush. Yeah, stop playing that crazy-ass music.
That's what I've said on one other favorite talk show of mine. It was run by two girls. Two black chicks, and it's all girl talk radio, and they play music something like, they'll play it for about 4 to 5 minutes apiece, then they'll go into the show, and then after 10 minutes of the show, they'll play another 5 minutes of the music, and I've told them, but these chicks are very good, very nice to get along with. You should show up, Rich. It's on every night around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, Joe, let me just say this. Eric, what we should do, and we could really do this streamlined, is just place a link. Just place a link to let us know where the other good shows are.
So he doesn't
have
it.
And those are the shows that we will support.
Yeah, but he doesn't have it.
Oh, well, give it to him.
It's called All Girl Talk Radio. I don't have the link either. It's just, that's the name of the show.
Let me All Girls Talk Radio. And
All
I heard you.
Girl, right, All Girl Talk Radio. It's on every
All
night. Yeah. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, except maybe Wednesdays at 9. I think every night now at 8 o'clock, and it's an enjoyable show. But they play and I hate the new goddamn music they're playing. It's always shit.
So it was Sex, Lies, and what?
No, the other one was I don't know what the name. Sex, Lies, and Love, I guess. Let me see.
I'll check it out. Yeah, go ahead.
The other one I'm sure of, All Girl Talk Radio.
I think I've been on their show before.
It's amazing.
But did they
show.
Change? Did they change wasting time with that damn music?
No, they haven't, no. So if you show up, and Stan shows up there all the time, too, maybe we can convince him. Because, Oh, it's Love, Sex, and Lies is the other one.
I think Love, Sex, and Lies.
I may have been on, came through there a couple of times.
You got to go there, too, Eric. You like it. They're good chicks. I mean, they're funny. They're college-educated. They're not mouthy. They're not anti-men. But the only real problem is that they play this fucking music. Hey. I had drama in my neighborhood just now.
Oh, Lord.
I expected it, and then it came, and I was right.
Oh, Lord.
What do you mean? I don't get that.
I have a neighbor.
Your actual neighbor.
Yeah, my neighbor has a drama with a new boyfriend, and I think she broke up with him. And
the guy
just bought her a brand new stove last week, and I think she broke up with him.
Uh-huh.
And he was buzzing earlier today, and nobody was answering. He was ringing the phone, nobody was answering. He was yelling her name out over by the foyer. Nobody was answering. So I thought he'd probably come back around 8 o'clock, you know. He's here. He was here now, and he told her to calm down. She took him outside, and I just heard her go inside the apartment now. So I don't know. I doubt if they got back together unless they came in together. I don't know. She's like a cockroach. She can walk around so fast. But the drama is there, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, that poor guy must feel like a sucker. But, yeah.
Well, you probably did. You guys hear me? I think you did hear me when I asked Supreme. I don't know why he calls himself Poverty Supreme, but at any rate, in any event, ask him if you spend money. See, these things have to balance out. I asked him if you spend money on a woman in the UK, does she feel obligated? Did you guys hear his response? Do you recall?
Yeah, he said yes, did he?
Right, he did say yes. That's very, very, very significant. Now, what would happen is, and that was true one time in America, maybe 50 or so years ago, but a man wouldn't spend money on a woman unless he was interested in her, because she would be obligated, and she would let him know that she was obligated. But see, these women today have become hyper freaks in that they will... You ever seen these little birds? I'm always amazed. I'm a nature lover. These birds can open their mouths, I believe, about 180 degrees. I mean, it's wide.
Hmm.
And so what women have done today is they'll suck down a man's resources and have no fidelity or intention of having to have any commitment to him. Because when you spend your money on someone, that is significant. But these women now, being the, I would say, the mega parasites that they've become, expect men to just spend money on them, and they have to do nothing in return.
Hmm.
So I think that is very, 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 very out of balance. And a lot of men, at least some men, are stupid enough to think that behavior on the part of women is okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the reason I say you shouldn't spend money. Sex and money should be kept out of the potential relationship early on.
Those two should be kept separate
and just use your personality.
Yeah.
So, I think that's very significant.
I agree with you. All right, y'all. I done went over again a whole hour. But I tell you, y'all get me going every time.
Mm-hmm.
this has been a fun Friday, let me tell you. Hey, yeah. And you guys think about getting a bike. What's the temperature in Montana, Joe?
Oh, probably around 35, I would say.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez.
I know, right?
Well, that's not cold, Eric? Are you kidding?
Huh?
That's not cold.
That's cold to me.
You're damn right. Have fun up there, Joe. Keep warm.
I know. It's 64 degrees here.
64.
Yeah.
It's 77. Well, wait a minute. That's inside. Let me see. Well, yeah,
I like
it's
the cold.
More, it's about 70 outside.
I like the cold.
Yeah, you know, no, I don't know.
Used to be I didn't like the cold. There was a time when I didn't wear jackets which were warm, even though they were thick. And one jacket I had, which resembled the Air Force jacket, really nice and thick. I thought it would be warm, and then it wasn't. I had this jacket for years, like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I'm freezing, right? And I'm thinking, God, it's cold. But then I just realized all you got to do is just buy warmer clothes.
Well, yeah, y'all.
That was it. You know, but I mean, you know, you have to buy good polyester or good down. Because otherwise, you can buy clothes that you think are going to be warm, and they're not, no matter how thick they are. Okay? You got to know how to buy the really good insulated clothing.
Right, right. And we only experience that maybe at the 4,000 to 5,000 foot level.
Yeah, where you
yeah,
go
I,
by.
See, the thing about the thing about L.A. Or much of California, it's extremely diverse. Ocean, you got the desert. And,
yeah.
Of course, you have the rainforest and the mountains.
I can tell you about the desert.
Excuse me?
I said I can tell you about the desert.
Yeah, we have plenty of desert. In fact, the whole area is desert. Yeah. But that cold, let me tell you, the cold, you've got to be pretty tough to put up with the cold.
It's not that cold, though. You get used to it. It's cold when you get to the 18s, the 17s, the 15s, and below that. But when you're just about at freezing, it's not cold.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Joe. You guys, I bet you won't find any homeless people out at 35.
You'd be surprised. I mean, well, in Montana, you're not going to find a lot. But let's say if you go to, I'm sure, in any metropolitan town that's experiencing around 30 degrees during the wintertime or so, you will find the homeless people out there. Because they don't want to go to the shelters. The shelters, they're afraid of their lives. They're afraid for their lives, rather.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, well, looky, I know you guys are about to shut it down. Good chat, and I'll catch you guys on one of these other shows.
All right.
All right.
Have a good weekend. Rich, you too, Eric. Don't forget
all right, you all too. Good night now.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, y'all, another ending to another great fun Friday. I told y'all we're going to change the format a little bit. Went over a little bit, but that's okay. Great conversation. I love it. All right, y'all. Well, it's that time. I got to go. Enjoy your weekend, and we see you Monday, 2 p.m. for Open Mic Monday. Until then, I'm out of here.